much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We all love beautiful music, especially gay music like this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Take the good, you take the bad, and when you take them both, there you have the facts of life.
Your story is a beautiful story. From my point of view, it's a beautiful story. I love your story.
Wow, you are surprisingly gay.
New green automobile models include hybrid, natural gas, and hydrogen technologies.
New green automobile models include hydrogen and electric.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
And now.
I was like, dog, you gonna take that big old bear on? Boy, you slay the dude. What?
Our feature presentation.
That's a good point, by the way. Whatever he just said. I don't enjoy that game.
Sort of make
and
that
yet,
clear.
We never repeat this? Oh, it's so fun. We haven't played in a long time. We need to bring that back.
I don't think so. Good without
well, we've got Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets to give away. We're looking for games to do this week. It'd be fun to revisit
that.
I think
so
we're all
too.
Filled up, but I'd love to. I mean, I love it is what I meant, but we just don't have time.
A lot of good calls already today, but if you want to get in, you can try it. 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number for the, what has it got to be, Wednesday already edition of the Kevin and Bean Show. This is not new to Europe. They've had it in Germany for some time, but it's in the news again because Switzerland has just adopted these sex boxes. Have you guys seen these?
No.
Mm-mm.
Sex boxes are pretty awesome. I don't think it's something we're likely to see in this country for a while, but apparently they have a real problem with prostitutes turning tricks sometimes in view of the public.
Right.
Prostitution is legal there, and streetwalkers, you know, just climb into a dude's car, and then you're in front of somebody's house in a neighborhood or something, right?
Right.
So they built these things called sex boxes, and they kind of look like, I don't know if you've ever seen those car washes, a drive-through car wash or something like that, where you're kind of protected on all sides.
Sure.
It's a box. You drive into the box with your car, and the girl hops in, and you do your business away from prying eyes.
Awesome.
And then you drive out the other side. You don't even have to get out of your car. You don't have to do anything.
So it's just basically a box that will keep other people from seeing what's going on inside your car.
Exactly, huh. Yeah. It's funny when you see the pictures of it, and one of the articles that I read yesterday made this comparison as well. It looks like they put those barriers up between the urinals so you don't have to see somebody else's junk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what this is. It's just all the way around. You just drive it in, then close it behind you, and then you're set.
And you got to wash and wax at the same time.
That's correct. Yes.
Maybe you do.
You wash
maybe
it all
it's
off.
Called a wash and a wax.
You can wash it all off when you leave.
They're calling it a sex box. It seems like they should call it like a quickie mart or something. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like there are a lot of other names they could come up with that would be clever. But
that's bizarre.
It does show you how differently sex is viewed in Europe versus the United States of America. Something like this would just never fly.
I mean, first of all, it's legal. Which it's
right.
Not here.
But it's not just legal. It's hell yeah legal.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? It's not like
that's true.
They have a red light district and it's like you can just pick up anyone on the street anywhere and do anything.
I need to move there. Sex
Switzerland,
boxes.
Those are your people, aren't they, Kevin?
Swiss, yeah.
Aren't you Swiss? Yeah. This article says it's your own little closet of debauchery that's big enough for your car, but too small for your shame. So, there you go. Although I imagine if you're living in Switzerland and going to the sex box, you're pretty liberated, pretty open-minded.
Not
I don't
so
think
much
with
the shame, yeah.
Too small
not so
for
much
your shame.
I know. So anyway, that's the adventure of the week right there. I like that.
That's sweet. We got a long way to go here.
Yep.
You think? Start with legalizing prostitution, and then we'll get to the sex box. All right, let's take your phone calls. Any topic you want to talk about, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
September 11th, not only does actor Michael Clark Duncan box our own Kevin Ryder, but you could also go to the Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario to see Street League. That's the creation of Rob Dyrdek, 24 of the best skateboarders in the world, competing for the most prize money in skateboarding history. That's the prize you get for being on the air with us at 1-800-520-1067. Let's try Daniel. He's on line 3 calling with a story in the news today.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, good morning. What'd it do? Michael Jordan's son, 20 years old, tweeting that he's at the MGM Grand in Vegas, totally smashed and lost $50,000 in betting.
All right, this is why Twitter rules, because dumb people have access now. So Michael Jordan's son, who's underage, in Las Vegas,
drinking and gambling,
$50,000 he lost.
And now the police are looking into it because of that, because of his tweet. Because
he's dumb. Look, if you're underage and you win, you lose or win, it doesn't matter. You don't tell everyone. Maybe a close friend or two.
Exactly.
But do they do they usually card when you walk up to a table in Las Vegas?
If you look like you need it, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. But who knows? I mean, you know, I don't know. Was Michael with him?
It did not say.
I don't think he was. But it is funny, though, that he, just like his father, just loses tremendous amounts of money gambling.
But his father earned tremendous amounts of money. Right. Where is this money coming from?
That. His father.
Gives him hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I'm sure.
Well, he is 20. I mean, that seems reasonable to me. I mean, at some point, you've got to let the kid grow up.
Isn't that bizarre? Because I've gotten to Vegas a million times, and my losses don't add up to that in my whole lifetime.
Yeah. Right.
And he lost it in one night, did you say?
That's what it claimed.
What was he playing? Did he say?
It didn't say. No.
Nickel slots. Take them all night. $50,000. My God.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Daniel.
Fascinating.
He learned that gambling from his father.
I know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Let's try Ken online too. And Miss Cleo, if you're here yet, we're going to need you to come in before we get to Joey too. We're going to need some advice for Joey from you. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What to do?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, so I think I had a bad day at work. I get home after work, turn on the TV, and this Peter McFarlane, he's 64 years old. He and his wife come home from a fundraiser and gets tased in his house by police.
Why did they tase him?
Well, he fell and tripped on his front yard, so his wife called 911. Paramedics came and helped him out, helped him into his house and everything. As paramedics were leaving, two police cars rolled up and went into the house, thought he was suicidal, and tased him in his living room.
Thought he was suicidal and tased him?
Why would you tase a guy because he's a danger to himself? You only tase somebody if they're a danger to the police or others.
I don't know. It's all over the internet.
Are you an officer, Bean? Do you know that?
Well, no, but I pay attention.
So he's 64 years old. He fell and needed medical attention. There's something missing here. You misunderstood the story.
No, sir.
There's something missing. He lunged at the... There's got to be something.
It's all over the internet.
Here's the funny thing is that they came back from a fundraiser.
Right.
And he's a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
So it gives a whole new meaning to don't tase me, bro.
I think we got a source. If that story is true, it rules.
Hang on a second. Marin County man, which is in Northern California, filed suit against the Marin County Sheriff's Department for an incident which he says law enforcement officers went too far. Peter McFarlane was tased inside his own home as his wife watched, begging officers to stop. It happened in June of 2009. McFarlane and his wife Pearl were returning home from charity fundraiser. McFarlane injured himself as he stumbled and fell down the long steps to the front door. Okay, so far everything the caller has said is dead on,
yes.
Right?
Ken's on.
Thank you.
Mainly it was to my knee in the front of my leg, my shin, McFarlane said. His wife called paramedics who helped him into the house and treated him. As the paramedics were leaving, two sheriff's deputies arrived. Okay, so far, so good.
Still got it.
Ken's right on.
All of a sudden, they just showed up. They came in here like there was a fire going, like a gunfight was going on, McFarlane said. What happened in the following minutes was captured on a camera mounted on the deputy's taser. The deputy tells McFarlane he's going to take him to the hospital because he may be suicidal. We want to take you to the hospital for an evaluation. You said you had a gun. If you had a gun, you'd shoot yourself in the head, the deputy could be heard saying. McFarlane said it was just hyperbole. He was just tired and in pain. That's weird. Well, who would have called, though, the police to tell them that the man had said that?
Nosy neighbors.
The deputy orders him numerous times to get up or else stand up, put your hands behind your back, or you're going to be tased. McFarlane keeps refusing. The exchange goes on for about 5 minutes. His wife keeps pleading with the deputies not to tase him, saying he has a heart condition. Then McFarlane tells the deputies in no uncertain terms to leave. As he gets up to go to bed, McFarlane is tased not once but three times.
His wife told him he had a heart condition and they still tased him?
Well, McFarlane says he never had any suicidal thoughts. In fact, he considers himself lucky to be alive. I'm a survivor of pancreatic cancer.
Oh my gosh.
I will say this. If the police are telling you to do one thing, and then they say, you know, get up or whatever, and then you just stand up and say, F you, I'm going to bed.
Even if the police are wrong to ask you to do that thing, you are kind of inviting their wrath.
If they have a taser pointed at you, You do what they say, regardless of their right.
But I can understand why the poor old man who'd already had a long night, a rough night, wouldn't want to now go down to the hospital for observation or the police station for questioning.
I hear you. I don't know. There's something missing here. Somebody called the police, and why, we don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I got to tell you, Ken gets points for being the most accurate retelling of a news story in a long time. I'll tell you that.
We thought he was wrong on about seven levels, and he was absolutely right.
I know. Sorry about that, Ken.
Good job.
Sorry for doubting you.
Hang on. It is all over the internet, though. I can't deny that. All right. One more real quick. Joey needs to talk to Miss Cleo. He's on line six. He joins us on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hi, Joey.
What it do? What up, man?
What it do?
What's going on with you?
So yesterday I got my sixth speeding ticket this year.
Yeah.
That kind of well people. Done.
Nice work. We're going to ask you the same question we did Miss Cleo, which is after one, don't you go, hey, maybe I should slow down? And then you got a second and a third. And then you go, wow, I really need to slow down. And then you got a fourth and a fifth. And then you drive 50. Well, how do you get a sixth?
I don't know. The cops are out to get me, probably.
Yes, they are. That's
it. Or you're doing something illegal every single time you get behind the wheel of the car, and maybe it's more on you than them.
No.
One of those two.
I'm with Joey. The cops are out to get them.
Yeah, they're out to get me.
So what's your question?
Well, I heard that Miss Cleo was able to clear them.
Miss Cleo had how many?
Six.
Six in about a year?
Even less than that. It was like 8 months.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Tell them where you went.
So I went to the ticket clinic. They are trained professionals. They're lawyers who only deal with tickets involving like speeding or traffic violations.
Right.
And they are amazing. They got me out of every single ticket that I've ever had. So hit them up, Joey. It's 800-600-1665. That's the ticket clinic.
Is it ticketclinic.com?
Yes.
All right. There you go.
But, Joey, maybe beyond that, maybe you slow down a little bit because now you know that you are not good at getting away with speeding.
That won't help. They're out to get him, B.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Use cruise control.
All right.
That's a good idea. Use cruise control. There you go. All right. Thanks for the call.
Get six tickets in a year. Just
don't laugh at us.
Dumb. Come on.
Love you too, Kevin.
What do you need? What is it that you need to get the message to slow down? All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeat Show, shall we?
Let me check my book. No, thank you.
All right. We are going to talk about people who wear sunglasses inside.
Yes, we are. Tools, all of them.
I agree.
And tools.
I say it's a tool move. That's the rule. There are a couple exceptions. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Kevin will explain who the exceptions are and why.
Yeah.
If he likes you, basically, you're allowed to have an exception.
That's how it works.
No.
And I have a very compelling argument, too, it comes from a whole different angle. But we'll talk about that later.
All right.
Okay.
We have tickets for Linkin Park.
Yes.
You're excited about that?
Yes.
Including the rapper, by the way, who's going to be there.
Rapper.
Oh, it is rapper. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yes. We're going to talk to Michelle Rodriguez about Machete.
Yes.
We're going to tell you about Bjork and her strange new song and some weird award she got. This is a strange world. I don't understand how Bjork exists.
I don't either,
she's
but
awesome.
I haven't heard her song yet, so I'm excited.
Her songs are all kind of the same. They're just kind of...
Well, she's an elf.
She's an acquired taste. Let's put it that way. Bean has acquired that taste. The rest of us, not so much. We're going to play you some new videos on the internet of kids, and they are spectacular. Kids that are way too young to be doing what they're doing. A 4-year-old lost $50,000 in Vegas gambling.
No,
no, no, no, no, no. That was Michael Jordan. That was Michael Jordan's son. You're confused. You're confused about the story there.
Oh. We have an instant request coming up, and Why Does Kevin Hate, apparently, is on the schedule as well. So that's all coming up. We'll take a look at the Showbiz Beat coming up next. That song does not end pleasantly, does it?
No, it's not annoying at all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5:53.
Ralph Garman joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show with our very first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. What's going on?
Little Hair!
Back in jail?
No, back in the news, though. Vanity Fair magazine caught up with Lindsay. I'm not sure if this interview was done before she went inside or after she came out. I'm guessing it was before because she's supposed to get a big payday.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
Because she's supposed to get a big payday for her post-rehab interview. I think that is still forthcoming. But interestingly, she denies she has any sort of substance abuse problem in this interview.
All right.
Denial's not just a river in Egypt, baby. Apparently, she says she has experimented in the past.
Experimented?
Yes.
All right.
But she has only done things regarding drugs, because people put it in front of her.
Well, you don't have a choice then.
You really don't.
If people put it in front of you,
yeah, you got to do it.
What are
That's
you supposed
my
to
experience.
Do?
She said that she's never abused prescription drugs. She said she had too little structure when she was a child. That's what causes her to act inappropriately.
I believe that.
I do too. But at what point do you stop being a product of your screwed up mom and dad and say, I'm going to start taking responsibility for my own actions?
Before now in her life?
For some people, never.
Well, she says she just wants respect from the show business industry because she knows she's a damn good actress. Well, maybe if you stopped stuffing your nose with powder and falling asleep in SUVs because you're loaded, you would get a little more respect.
Ralph, they put it in front of her.
That's true, they did.
And you're not cool if you turn it down, by the way. That's the message for the kids.
And if you go to Ledoux or one of these nightclubs, they put an entire bar in front of you. How are you supposed to say no to that?
They do. That's true. It's their fault.
Damn nightclubs with their alcohol. Bars. Stupid bars. You can't choose not to go to them.
Right. No, that's not an option.
Oh, poor Lindsay. Poor Lindsay.
They'll hand you a glass of alcohol at that place. You know? You're supposed to do.
In regards to her being a damn good actress, easy. Easy.
She's a good actress.
She's a good actress.
Yeah, let's not throw damn in there.
I saw Machete in a film full of bad performances. You're just as good as the rest are bad.
But you say that lovingly, right?
I do. I love the film.
Okay.
The film is brilliant. I really enjoyed it. But it's not. There will be no Oscar noms coming out of this particular cast, is all I'm saying.
Lindsay doesn't stand head and shoulders above the rest of the cast?
She stands out.
Yeah, okay.
Largely because she's butt-ass naked in the majority of the film that she appears in. And she does make out with Machete with her mom all
this
together.
This is Machete.
Wait. In the swimming pool.
Her and her mom in
Machete
the movie?
Machete takes on Lindsay and the character who plays her mom. The actress who plays her mom.
He rules.
In the pool. He way rules.
This is Machete.
Yeah.
Ralph, I saw the scene that you were alluding to yesterday with the unbelievably hot, naked Mexican chick who, bear in mind, completely naked, still has to hide a cell phone somewhere and does. I did see that scene yesterday, and wow.
I wonder where she comes.
Amazing.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Lady Gaga.
In the news. She's got some issues. Here's
really?
The thing. She refuses to touch a cell phone because she's convinced it will fry her brain.
For
reals? She has a dedicated assistant whose job is to only carry, answer, and then hold up the device to her face with speakerphone so she can communicate.
So she's fine with the assistant frying her brain?
Well, yeah, Lisa. That's what lackeys are for.
Okay.
She's an artist. She can't afford to fry her brain.
That's true. It can't be true.
It is true. And it's true.
Wow.
She also has another member of her security team carry her around sometimes because she puts strict limitations on her walking time. She only allows herself a certain amount of time per day to walk.
Okay.
And if she hits that limit, someone's got to carry her.
Dean, that's your perfect life. You should have someone carry you full time.
Absolutely.
You could make your walking limit 1 minute.
I love it.
That's crazy.
Imagine the team of weightlifters we'd have to get to carry Beans.
That's true. Yeah.
7 foot people. Frame around. It just would be exhausting.
Look, I think she crazy with the cell phone thing, but I also don't think all the evidence is in on long-term effects of holding that machine right up to your brain for hours. I do wonder sometime down the road if we're going to find out that it's all going to be a massive health problem because of the cell phone use.
Here's the answer to that. We're going to find that out.
Yes.
And then 10 years later, we're going to find out, no, it wasn't.
Coffee's good for you. Coffee's not good for
That's
you.
That's how it works.
Heavy drinkers now outlive people who don't drink. There's all kinds of new studies. Every day, someone tells you something.
One in four adults travels with a stuffed animal. You know, those ridiculous studies.
They
can't
be
possibly true. Does anybody else get the idea that Lady Gaga is just trying so hard to be odd?
No, I think she's genuinely odd.
You do?
I absolutely do. I think she's definitely got some sort of screw loose. I firmly believe that. Because there is a certain percentage of show business types who try to act eccentric.
Right, that's what I was thinking, she was part of.
But it almost always is with a public face on it. From everything I've heard, privately, she's just weird, as quirky as she is in front of an audience. And you don't need to be if you're putting it on. You know, you just need to do it publicly.
Right.
But you don't really need. It's like Angelina Jolie. Everybody said, oh, she's just putting it on for the for the paparazzi, for the press. Apparently, at home, she was just as crazy as she was in public. That vial of blood around her neck with Billy Bob Thornton was not a one-off.
All right.
Yeah.
So I think some people are just genuinely quirky.
But Gaga has to hang around her house in jeans and a t-shirt sometimes, right? She can't always wear the crazy burkas or whatever she's
got. I'm guessing clothes do not play a big role in her home attire.
And she's not wearing a burka.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah. And lastly, a little something for Kevin, a little present for Kevin, a little something for Kevin.
About time.
It looks like finally we're going to get Ghostbusters 3, Kevin. I know the first film is one of your favorite movies of all time.
It is. Second wasn't as good.
But still but wildly good. Entertaining.
Yeah.
Looks like they're getting the gang back together again. Sigourney Weaver did an interview where she said she has been contacted by producer Ivan Reitman about appearing in Ghostbusters 3. And the premise actually seems pretty promising. What they're going to use this film for is to pass the torch to another generation of Ghostbusters, basically.
Right.
But apparently we find out in Ghostbusters 3 that Sigourney's little boy, Oscar, remember Oscar from the second film, her little baby?
Yep.
Is actually Bill Murray's character, Peter Venkman's child as well.
Ah.
And he has grown up now. He's all grown up, and he's ready to take over Dad's business. So the rest of the Ghostbusters apparently will pass the torch to a new generation of Ghostbusters.
All right.
Well, you're smelly. Is Dad a smelly? That's one of my favorite lines from number two. He's holding the baby.
Are they worried that the movies are too close together? That they'll.
Yeah, I know this comes right on the heels of Ghostbusters 2, but apparently.
Which was, what, 30 years ago?
Any Ghostbusters is better than no Ghostbusters.
I agree.
That's what
I guess they've done sequels or remakes of every other movie in the last 30 years, so now they're going back. That's why stuff like Ghostbusters and Tron is getting redone now.
Well, yeah. The cast and creators of Ghostbusters have famously dragged their feet when it comes to making another one. Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and Murray especially just really did not want to do it unless it was an idea that sort of caught their fancy, and apparently now they have one. So.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gloria Estefan.
Aye, aye, aye.
Ugh.
Come on, Kevin.
Ugh.
Dude, turn the beat around.
Kevin hates her too, by the way.
No, I don't like any of their music. Their music is bad. Let's be honest.
She did fight back from a multiple broken back, though.
Yeah, that was impressive. What happened? Her tour bus fell off.
Got to give her some credit for that. You can't hate her wholly.
I don't hate her wholly. I don't like their music.
Okay.
Come on, baby. Let's do the Mamba or whatever it is that they do.
Conga, I think.
Conga.
Whatever.
53 years old today. Dr. Phil is 60. Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
Celebrates what?
Stop it.
Celebrates his 64th birthday
today. He looks like Gandalf now. Last time I saw him on American Idol, I was like, whoa, what happened to Barry?
You know what, Barry? That long, puffy hair may have worked for you in 1977, but maybe a trim.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And file updated. Those teeth down. What's going on? He's like a rabbit. His teeth don't stop growing. We got to give him some wood chips to gnaw to whittle those down a little bit. His teeth are too big for his head now. They're literally coming through the top of his skull. It's very strange.
Oh, that is odd.
And actress-comedian Lily Tomlin celebrates her 71st birthday. Not a great day for birthdays, but look, you got to work with what you got. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Why does Kevin hate old people? Why does Kevin hate baseball? Why does Kevin hate? Why does he hate the Beatles, Al Roker, and wine drinkers? Why does Kevin hate anything made before 1985? That is so dumb. What will Kevin hate today?
Sandra Bullock.
I'm glad you joined us, Ralph, because, you know, we have the Today Show on in the office oftentimes.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case there's any kind of breaking news or there's a hot chick, we all want to be able to see it, right?
Yeah.
So Sandra Bullock did her big interview yesterday, first sit-down interview she's done since all the scandal, or as she said, since her life got interesting. So she's sitting down with Matt Lauer. And Mike and I both separately, unaware of the other, said, wow, Sandra Bullock is so pretty and so nice. And Kevin says these words, she bugs me.
Yeah, he hates her.
I don't hate her.
And I thought,
pretty much
hate her. How does Sandra,
name of the bitch Kevin hates go with it?
I hate her.
There you go.
How does Sandra Bullock bug anybody was the question that I asked him yesterday, because I can't think of anything that I don't like about her.
She just
this is my favorite reason ever to hate anyone.
Look, it's just a gut most of the time. You know, you don't know why, but
have a gut.
How dare you? I think that she's trying. She acts too happy. Not that she is too happy, Ralph. She acts too happy.
Ah,
she pretends to be happy.
It's an illusion of joy.
Yes.
I hate it.
Yes.
So she's living a lie, and you're calling her on it.
Yeah, she's not living
you're the
a
only
lie.
One, but... You're the only one with the guts to say, stop acting so happy.
No, I'm just saying she just bugs me.
I want you to cry.
Oh, her and all her happiness.
I don't want any sadness for her. I just don't. I think there's more than she's left. I don't know. You remember who was the host of Entertainment Tonight for 70 years?
Mary Hart.
Mary Hart. giant fake plastic smile.
Mm-hmm.
That was she epitomized that for me.
Yes.
And then I saw her host a charity event,
mm-hmm.
and she was way worse in person than ever on that TV show.
She's just a smile and a hairdo. That's all she is.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sandra Bullock, the opposite
of
that.
So you look at her and you go, she's not, no one is that happy.
Well, right. She's a television host. I mean, that's what she does, and she does it badly. She's horrible.
Okay.
We're all in agreement on her job is to be a mannequin.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. She's absolutely plastic
Sandra
and fake.
Sandra Bullock has a touch of that.
Oh, no.
She has a touch of Mary Hart.
I don't see that at all.
Not even a little
just a
tiny, bit.
Just a touch.
She's not frantically happy.
No.
At all.
She's not perfectly normal.
Kathy
Lee Gifford or something.
Kathy Lee Gifford, another perfect example.
That is a great
example. You're talking about smile.
Sandra Bullock,
it
not
Sandra
a good
Bullock.
Example, is what we're saying.
She's
got depth. She's got. She's an interesting person. When she talks, she's articulate. She seems to have some wherewithal about worldviews as well as her own personal life.
She's not as bad as those other two, but I think there's some fakeness about the level of happy.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I think you agree that she's a very attractive woman. She
sure.
seems smart. She's got a great sense of humor.
She seems like
terrific,
a good actress.
Terrific actress.
Sure.
Did some of this come about as a result of her being in the news the last few months, and you did not feel that she appropriately telescoped how devastated she was by her husband cheating on her and leaving her?
No, I felt like this before. But the story that Ralph did yesterday brought it back up. This is how it came back up. Ralph did a story yesterday where they interviewed her, and she said
– Matt Lauer interview.
Yeah. And she said, you know, everything happens for a reason. The universe makes everything happen for a reason.
Right.
And, you know, we're all moving on. And
well,
it was,
maybe she discovered that
everyone's fine.
Actually, her life without Jesse, for whatever reason, is actually a little better. Maybe she had sort of a revelation, and she's got this new baby.
Yeah, she's got a new baby in her life, which certainly
gave
her perspective in terms of what's important and what's not. She probably doesn't have a lot of time to feel sorry for herself when she's raising a child.
But why don't you look at that and go, wow, that's a healthy attitude, and that's admirable that somebody can be faced with a difficult situation like that and see the positive in it and go on and continue to be happy.
No.
I would think that would be something you would admire.
Too much joy. Too much happiness.
No, not too much joy, too much happiness. Putting on a front like there's more than there is.
But
that's what bugs me.
That's just sheer conjecture. You have no idea if it's a front or not, whether she's actually got her S together.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's just a guess.
Is the only way you would have been happy is if she had pulled out a samurai sword and just fallen on it during the interview yesterday? It's, I can't go on. I can't live. I'm so sad.
I miss choppers. Don't you want her to scream while she was weeping?
I miss choppers.
With mascara running down her face.
I would have loved that more. No, I don't wish ill will on her. I don't want her to be unhappy. I just don't buy the level of happiness.
But what is it about her generally that makes you assume that there's some fakery going on as opposed to giving her the benefit of the doubt and saying she's always seemed like a pretty well put together person? Good for her.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
This isn't based on anything, people.
I'm just telling you.
It's a gut.
It's just a gut. It's just like
it's just a gut.
You see her a bunch, then you go, well, something is not right here because no one's always happy, and she seems like she's trying to put that across.
Well, I mean, look, I don't doubt that she's had some very sad times privately. When she's in public, she doesn't have an obligation to appear sad, though.
I don't think she does, but...
And this is like her second appearance since this all has gone down. She put herself pretty much into seclusion when it was happening. Didn't talk to any press, didn't make any public appearances.
Right.
She did the MTV Movie Awards, and now this is pretty much all she's done since it all went down.
I'm not talking about just since that, though. She's bugged me ever since... I was aware of her.
Remember when she was on that bus and she kept driving so fast, Ralph? Jeez. That was so annoying.
Bitch would not slow down. Or her fake speed.
I don't have any complaint with her acting either. She's a fine actress.
Okay.
All right, so why do you hate Sandra Bullock? We've got to put a button on this because so far I haven't heard a reason.
The gut, Bean. It's the gut.
It's the gut. It's the clown factor. Behind that painted on smile, there's some kind of darkness.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what it is or where it is, but it's not coming to the top, and that scares me a little bit.
Well,
everybody's got it.
When she turns out to be a serial killer, Kevin's going to have the last laugh because
no,
none of the rest of us saw it coming.
We were right.
I don't want her to be unhappy.
Happiness equals bad.
That's
Kevin's equation.
That's what we've learned.
That's not.
Why does Kevin hate?
Michelle Rodriguez on the program later today, of course, one of the stars of
Machete.
Very much looking forward to that. When is that one open, by the way?
This is Machete.
I believe it's Friday.
This Friday?
This Friday.
This Friday.
Oh, see, and that may bump my Piranha 3D.
You're not going to see it. Stop acting like
that. He said he was going to go with me.
Yeah, I know. Now he just found out the machete comes out.
Bean.
So what am I going to do
which
now?
Which he's not going to see either, by the way.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Producer Alex has joined us in studio. We don't get a chance to see her very often, but one of her jobs is to accept all offers for the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the one who gets the pitches. She's the one who gets the requests. All the people want to be on the show. If you've wondered how our show could be any worse, it would be if we said yes to many of the things that cross producer Alex's desk.
Well, here's how it works behind the scenes. We want to have people on.
Sofia Vergara.
And they don't want to come on.
Sofia Vergara.
Right. And then everybody that we don't want to have on wants to be on.
Yep.
So that's what we're constantly fighting, and they have to go through Alex, and so we've concocted bad pitches for you.
Bad, 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 bad pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert spokesman or public relations pitch?
Bad, 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 bad. Pitches for you.
Silly waste of time. Dumb pitch.
Damn it.
Lightning.
Bad,
IP.
Bad theme songs for you.
It's awesome. What are you talking about?
All right, Alex. What do you got?
Well, Kevin, you thought you hated about 10 minutes ago.
I didn't hate. I'm just annoyed. That's
well,
all.
I'm about to kick off a little Al Roker TV show for you. The Cooking Channel is debuting this fall.
Oh, my God. It's everything you love.
I hate cooking shows so much.
Al Roker is serving up a diverse menu of issue-based series about food. That's
okay.
Right. It's a serious look and an intimate look at people whose lives have been transformed through food.
Now, is this because he used to be fat and then lost all that weight?
Yes.
And now he's all that.
Now he's all that?
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. He's going to talk about the healing power.
He's not going to talk about that on our show, though.
The healing power of food.
Right, no.
Food issues.
Yeah.
Alex, I wish you hadn't brought this one up because I would have liked to have said yes to this behind the scenes and booked it as a surprise.
How dare you? How dare
you? Al Roker and the cooking show all in one has everything you love.
I would have left.
Have you guys ever dreamed about furniture making?
No.
But been too afraid to pick up the tools to make it happen?
Not one single time.
Come on.
Totally.
There's a new public access TV show out of Boston.
Public access?
Yep. Hosted by,
I'm in then.
Hosted by Tommy Mack, called Rough Cut Woodworking. Come on. Don't you want to know?
So wait, they want to do an interview on our station.
Correct.
About
a public access TV show you can only see in Boston.
All right.
About, you know, wood enthusiasts.
I'm a wood enthusiast, but that's very different.
You can, you know, you can make a flag box or a step stool or a trestle table. You don't tell me.
I would actually like to talk to the publicist who thinks this is a good idea to send this to us.
Here's the problem is that there are so many PR people out there, and they have to get clients. So this dude comes.
I don't fault them for sending, but it's when they call me back. I'm like, really? Just send me an email.
What about the Boston guy? What about that guy?
The one you can never see.
All right. That's a no. What
else
you got?
All right. Dr. Johnson. You want to talk to him?
Whoa.
Wow.
We could hear it first.
Dr. Johnson separates the men from the boys and the men from the men with moobs. That's right. Women are not the only ones concerned about cup size. Now men can have their breasts or moobs, male boobs, reduced. Come on.
Hold
but
on,
they
I'll
can
let you
always
hear about
do
this.
That.
Well, here's the best part, and this is the actual name in the press release. Dr. Johnson combines tickle liposuction with smart lipo to effectively combat the most stubborn moobs.
What's tickle liposuction?
I don't know,
I've never heard of it.
Tickle liposuction open for stubborn moves at Coachella.
What is happening there?
But my favorite part is it ends with the nation will definitely want to hear about this new and safe procedure.
Tickling?
Not just LA, but the nation. So Kansas, Louisiana, listen up.
Coming after you.
You got moves
you got
there
moves.
Too.
I'm saying no.
This is the one in the office that almost had Ralph and I go out and kill somebody. Purina Cat-Chow would like to cure breast cancer.
What?
Admirable. However, they're going about it in the wrong way. They're asking people to register at their Facebook website. By the way, Cat Chow has a Facebook. register to take a 20-minute cat nap for the cause. With every registered napper, Purina Cat Chow will make a donation. Okay, listen.
See, because cat naps are what you call a quick nap.
Yeah, but how is sleeping for 20 minutes at a time going to cure cancer? Really?
Well, I don't think it is.
If that was the case, half the stuff, we would have cured diabetes, cancer. We would have cured everything by now.
If it just took a nap?
Nappers.
One nap?
Yeah. A press release asking for nappers.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a well thought out promotion.
Nope. I'm not even going to get to talking to America's Best Restroom.
What? Yeah. Wait, what's that?
It got an award.
Who gives awards to restrooms?
This company called Cintas. They're like a cleaning company.
Uh-huh.
And they sponsor America's Best Restroom. And I have the top three for you. Bryant Park in New York.
Oh,
the
that
fountain,
is a good restroom.
The Fountain on Locust in St. Louis.
You can pee in a fountain?
The Grand America Hotel. They feature bronze chandeliers and Carrara marble.
Now, is there vision when they send a pitch like that? Yeah, is there vision that we talk to their spokesperson who describes how the process works to be
they
named America's cleanest restroom?
Yeah, they would like to talk about washrooms reflecting a sense of flair, taste, and humor.
I don't need
my bathrooms to have a sense of humor.
I don't need.
I don't need. I just want a protector. Don't need it.
I just want it to be clean.
Yeah,
that's right. I want to be able to walk in without falling over and passing out.
I would like toilet paper in the stall. That's all I need.
But we don't need to talk to them.
Not to stick to the floor. No. And finally, Kevin might actually be jealous of this guy, John Harrison. He's a professional ice cream taster.
Oh, that's a great job.
That is a great job.
Strawberry ice cream.
However, now you want to punch him in the face because he has created Flavorology. And how your favorite ice cream flavor reveals your personality.
Come on.
Are you nutty, sweet, and tart? You're caramel praline.
Come on.
If you're the life of the party, you're chocolate.
Really?
And don't think that those who choose vanilla may have a bland personality. They're a colorful risk taker.
They're not.
Yeah,
they're not
and my favorite note is John Harrison tells us, it's okay to eat straight out of the carton. Thank you for that enlightening note.
Wow. I'd almost like to talk to them.
So
that's
horrible.
How can vanilla make you a colorful risk taker when vanilla is the most popular flavor in America?
Well, then we need to talk to the flavorologist.
Most people are colorful risk tapers.
John Harrison.
We might need to talk to the flavorologist.
So, Al Roker.
I can't be the life of the party because I'm not chocolate.
Al Roker's going to talk about clean restrooms and how to catnap to eat ice cream and be the life of the party.
Can we say no to all of those?
Please, dear God.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Wednesday. We mentioned that Breakfast with Linkin Park is coming up at a super secret location. Would now be a good time to invite Linkin Park fans to call in? Okay.
Hey!
You have to be on hold for a few minutes, but it'll be worth your time if you know Linkin
Park. Up in Linkin Park.
If you know your Linkin Park and your Linkin Park lyrics, you'll have a good chance of winning this game. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play just after the top of the hour, but you can call now.
Yeah.
Run and tell that, homeboy.
This game will make people scream for Spoon Man.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, please bring Spoon Man back.
I'm with you on that.
That's all I'm saying.
So that is straight ahead here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, congratulations to everyone over at America's Got Talent. NBC has announced they're renewing that popular show for a sixth season, despite changes to the show, which replaced David Hasselhoff with Howie Mandel, which I thought would be the death knell. But no, Howie seems to be pulling it off just fine. And
do you watch the show, Ralph?
I do from time to time.
How is Howie?
He's great. He is, obviously, he's more lucid than David Hasselhoff.
Sure.
Who isn't more lucid than David? Paul Abdul would come off looking better. He's very entertaining, and he provides the comedy that's necessary to keep the show moving along, because Piers Morgan and Mrs. Osborne aren't exactly the yuckmeisters.
Right.
So he does give that, and Nick Cannon as host is not good, but not really important, so it doesn't take away.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about this season. I don't know if you guys follow at all, but
occasionally.
2 weeks ago, they had the opening sort of auditions, and they brought out this 10-year-old girl named Jackie Ivancho.
Hey.
And Jackie is an adorable little 10-year-old blonde girl who just looks like the perfect little girl next door.
She looks like Dakota Fanning when she was her age.
Yeah, she's right out of central casting for the perfect little toe-headed blonde little girl. Here's Jackie talking about the fact that she likes to sing, and so, you know, they have a lot of kids who come on the show and sing.
Well, I do get very nervous before I go on stage because I don't want to mess up. Because this is a big shot, and it's helping me follow my dream, and I just really hope that it happens.
Yeah, so everybody said, oh, what a cute little kid.
Oh, cute. She does well.
Let's just let her sing, and we'll all listen, and then we'll, you know, crush her dreams to prove to her that life isn't easy. Well, she opens her mouth 2 weeks ago and blows the room away, and then last night she did Time to Say Goodbye by Andrea Bocelli. I don't know if you know his work or not, but he is an operatic Italian tenor. Here is a little taste of 10-year-old Jackie Ivancho singing Time to Say Goodbye.
What?
It is insane what happens when this girl sings.
Bizarre.
Wait, that's a 10-year-old?
That coming out of her mouth.
That's the same little girl saying, I get nervous. I hope I do it. She opens her mouth and just this unbelievable sound comes out. She is...
That's the sound of like a 30-year-old trained opera singer.
Too many hormones, right? In the milk or something.
Something is going on. She started singing about 2 years ago. And now that's what she can do at 10. It is unworldly.
Maybe she'll quit school and join the opera now.
When she was on a few weeks ago, remember, Ralph, Pierce called Simon Cowell after the show and said, forget Susan Boyle. She's over. Wait till you hear this kid.
This kid crushes Susan Boyle, destroys Susan Boyle.
Destroys her, yeah.
F you, you ugly old Scottish catwoman.
We never liked you.
We've got an adorable 10-year-old American girl who sings like an angel. Howie Mandel says, you sing like an angel from another planet. It's even beyond angel. It's like an angel and then... just add another universe to it. It just goes beyond anything. There's no question this girl will win this season because it gives you chills when you watch this tiny little child produce this amazing music.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Charlotte Church when she came onto the scene 15 years ago or something like that. Who was very, very young and an extremely accomplished singer. But this... And she went on to sell millions of albums, by the way. This girl is better than Charlotte Church.
Easily.
Though.
I'm sorry, what's your comment, Ralph?
That's what I said to Charlotte Church in comparison to our very own Jackie Evancho. So,
that's crazy.
The show is cool for that reason. Once in a while, someone will come out on stage and just surprise you in a way you never could have expected. So, big fan of Jackie. I got the Evancho fever. No, it doesn't work.
No.
I got to work on that. I got to work on something for that. Speaking of reality television and talk shows, Conan O'Brien said he's going to reveal the name of his late-night talk show today. He's going to tweet it. So everyone, get your Twitters out. Wait for Conan to announce the name of his show.
Did he have a time?
I think sometime today. We'll know.
Is it going to be called the Conan O'Brien Show?
Well, here's the thing, which is funny. there was some talk about just calling it Conan, but it turns out they can't do that.
Because he doesn't own it.
Because the name Conan, as a title, is trademarked by Conan Properties International, which was developed to promote the Conan the Barbarian films back in the day when they sold that product into films. So they said anything just simply named Conan is trademarked for specific use for Conan the Barbarian.
Wow. So we call it Conan the Barbarian?
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. And just have a big slap down, drag out legal fight in the press. But so he can call it the Conan O'Brien Show or the Conan Show or something like that, but he can't simply call it Conan, which was an idea early on. So no word yet on what it's going to be, although Conan says his lawyers have told him the return of Nanny McPhee is already taken. So
he won't be able to use that title either, sadly.
And you want Quentin Tarantino in your corner if you're an actor.
I would think so.
Remember how he single-handedly revived the career of John Travolta with Pulp Fiction?
Yep.
Yes.
And he does that. If he likes you as an actor, he was early on, he was on George Clooney before anybody else recognized him as a major movie star. Yeah, put him in that vampire movie.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
From Dusk Till Dawn, yeah. Anyway, now he's decided that his new project is Justin Timberlake.
As an actor?
Yep.
He's a good actor.
Said he wants to make him a bona fide movie star. He thinks Justin has a lot of raw talent, and he is excited about turning Justin into an on-screen killer for an upcoming dark comedy that he's working on. So he's in talks with Justin about working together. And I agree. I think Justin's a real good actor.
So glad he's getting some work.
There's
some
potential there. Yeah, because the guy needs a break, for God's sakes. He's got nothing going on. And lastly, they are talking about, of course, rebooting the Fantastic Four film franchise. For those who don't know, Fantastic Four, popular comic book from Marvel Comics, has been around for about 50 years. And they did a couple of Fantastic Four movies that did okay at the box office, but certainly didn't set the world on fire with either fans or critics. So they're going to reboot the franchise, and now they're talking about the cast.
Okay.
Looks like Adrian Brody or Jonathan Rhys-Meyers are in consideration for the role of Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. He's the leader of the group, and he stretches.
He's the stretchy guy?
He's the stretchy guy.
All right.
Yeah. In terms of who will play his wife, Sue Storm, no confirmation yet, but they are asking, apparently, Bruce Willis to voice the character of the Thing, that giant orange rock monster.
Chiklis played in the other movies,
Ben
right?
Chiklis played him in a sort of a foam rubber suit.
Right.
They're going to do a total CGI thing this time around and have an actor voice the role, and they're talking to Willis about doing that.
Okay.
All right.
And apparently, looks like Stephen Moyer of True Blood is being talked about regarding the role of Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom, who, of course, is the evil archenemy of the FF. So,
I liked the first Fantastic Four movie, by the way.
I did too.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I thought Chris Evans was a real good Torch. I thought Chiklis was pretty good as a thing. Jessica Alba, maybe not the best choice for Sue Storm.
Well, I was upset that when her clothes fell to the ground, she was invisible.
That's I was upset when she started talking about science because she was playing a scientist.
Well, there's that.
That's what upset me.
You didn't buy that?
Not so much. We are scientists. We are regular people just like you. Do not think we are superheroes. She has a speech in Machete. Oh.
Is that where We Didn't Cross the Border, the Border Crossed Us comes from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she's sound down in general.
I can't wait. She gets up on a car and all those day laborers around her. She puts her fist in the air and she does this big rousing speech. Howls of laughter in the theater, I would say. Howls.
Is it intentionally funny?
I think so for everyone else, but her, maybe.
All right.
That's what I'm guessing.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Lily Tomlin, comedian actress for many, many years, is 71 years old. Barry Gibb, the eldest of the Bee Gees, is 64.
Can you stop saying yeah after him?
Gibb rips.
Yeah, he fine. Keep it to yourself. Really rip. Put it on your podcast.
He ripped, maybe a while ago, but no longer is ripping.
1977.
Crazy.
Keep it to yourself.
Totes rips.
Those Bee Gees, by the way, they're dwindling. They're an endangered species.
There's only two of them, right?
There's only two of them left.
They are an endangered species.
My wife says, I want you to take me see the Bee Gees sometime. I was like, first of all, can't. Most of them are dead. Two brothers standing singing is not the Bee Gees, okay?
Second of all, why,
more importantly. Yeah, he is 64 years old. Dr. Phil turns 60. Gloria
Dr. Phil? Dr. Full of it.
That's true.
That is true. And Gloria Estefan of the Miami Sound Machine. They do good work, don't they, Kevin?
They do not.
Kevin hates Miami Sound Machine.
Bad music.
She is 53 years old today, and Ralph Garman will walk the show.
Thursday, September 14th, that's the date Linkin Park fans are waiting for, the release of the new one from the band called 1,000 Suns. Linkin Park, one of the biggest rock bands in the world. You can be up close and personal. It's Breakfast with Linkin Park. You can win your tickets right now with a little game we like to call Omaroki.
Yeah. Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Could you try to suck less than usual as you sing, Linkin? I'm just saying, it seems to me like you go out of your way to make sure that it doesn't sound anything like the song you're supposed to be singing. We want people to win their way into Breakfast with Linkin Park, and they can't do it if you're singing badly.
I always sing dead on tune.
Really?
In key. It's awesome. When are you guys going to do Breakfast with Omar, Roki? Seriously.
They use Omar's voice as a reference for autotune.
Absolutely.
They use it as like the point of reference.
Totally.
Who knew?
All right. Perfect pitch.
Let's begin with Adam, who's calling in to win Breakfast with Linkin Park. Hi, Adam.
Morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Are you ready for Omar Roki? This is where Omar sings a song from Linkin Park, and then you have the very difficult task of trying to figure out what song that is.
Sounds good.
Here we go.
All right. We apologize in advance for what you and other listeners to Kevin Beach are about to endure.
Go, stop the show, choppy words and sloppy foes, shotgun opera, lock and load, cock it back and then watch it go. Mama help me, I've been cursed, death is rolling in every verse, candy paint on his brand new hearse, can't contain me, know he works.
That was good, it's beneath my skin.
No, don't say that.
Can't say that on the air. Well, he missed that. All right, good.
Let's try Jeff, maybe. It sounded nothing like it.
The only thing I liked about that last one was the confidence that he answered that with when it was wrong. All right, let's go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, party people.
Good morning.
You ready for your version of Omaroki?
I can do it.
All right.
I can't feel the way I did before. Don't turn your back at me. I won't be ignored. Time won't heal this damage anymore. Don't turn your back at me. I won't be ignored.
Oh, brother.
Come on.
Omar, you've heard the songs that you're singing here, right?
Exactly like Chester.
Okay.
In the end.
That's faint. Are you telling us that sounds exactly like that?
Totally.
Okay.
It's the problem with Linkin Park, and I was thinking about this yesterday when we were doing the string quartet versions too, is that their song titles are not easy to remember.
Well,
like you know the song. Oh, I know that song, but I can't remember what it's called because for whatever reason, like Faint, I don't know how much they sing Faint in that song, but maybe it doesn't stick with you.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It's hard for me to judge that because I can't remember any song titles from any band, so this is just the same for me. All right, you ready, Kevin?
I'm ready. Go, guys.
Here's Omar.
One thing, I don't know why. It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried
so hard?
In the end.
Yes.
There you go.
Right. There you go.
I don't know why.
It doesn't even matter how hard you try. Come on.
Yeah, we heard you.
Come on.
No thanks to Omar, but well done, Kevin. We'll see you at breakfast. Plus, we'll give you a copy of the new Thousand Sons. Let's bring Lauren onto the show. She's on line 4. Lauren, you ready for Omar Roki? Breakfast with Linkin Park tickets on the line.
Yes.
All right, good luck. Here's Omar.
There's something inside me that pulls beneath the surface, consuming, confusing. This lack of self-control I fear is never ending, controlling. I can't see.
That's a new softer Omar. I like
wow, it. The dead sexy Omar. I like did.
Lauren?
Crawling.
Yeah!
Something inside me that pulls beneath the surface.
Yeah. Wow, we saw a different side of Omar there.
Yeah, I was rubbing my nipples while I was singing that.
Now, oh, did you pull that out because we had a lady contestant?
Exactly.
Is that why you were being all
yeah,
sexy?
Totally.
Okay, well done.
Lauren will be at the breakfast. Let's go to Rena. Hi, Rena.
Hi, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi, Rena. What are you wearing?
All right, easy. Here's your Omar Roki. Good luck.
I find the answers that aren't so clear. I wish. Whoa, that's way off.
Yep, let's start again.
Okay. Hold on. Let's start over. Sorry about that.
Take two.
I find the answers aren't so clear. I wish I could have find a way to disappear. All these thoughts that make no sense. I find bliss and ignorance. Nothing seems to go away over and over again.
Gosh, you were right as far as the lyrics and the song title.
You know it
they
so well,
match.
Right?
Yes, I do. I know it.
Oh. But this one, they say it a lot.
Oh.
In the chorus part of it, they say it a lot.
Oh.
Come on, Rena, you can do it. Come up with a title
here.
I know
all the other ones, but I don't know this one.
Oh.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Leave out all the rest.
Sorry, it's one step closer.
Oh, okay.
To the edge, and I'm about to...
I find the answers are so clear.
All right,
we got time for another?
Sure.
Let's try Steven, line 6. Steven, I apologize again in advance for Omar Roki, but that's the game we're playing here today. You want to win tickets for Breakfast with Linkin Park? Listen up.
Put to rest what you thought of me while I can't clean the slate with the hands of uncertainty. So let me come and wash away.
That's let mercy come.
I don't know what you're thinking about.
That's a very different lyric. All right. I didn't recognize that, and I'm looking at the title. Steven.
From the first album.
No.
Not helpful. It's not from the first album, I can tell you that.
Second album.
How about you give us a title, and then we'll go from there.
No, because then if I say the title...
But you have to guess!
You can't win unless you come up with a song title. That's how the game's played.
Lying from you.
Sorry, that's what I've done.
So let mercy come.
What the hell was that?
All right.
Even you have to admit, that wasn't even close.
Are you kidding?
Omar?
Breakfast with Omar Roki, that's all I'm saying.
One more. I'm hoping to go out with a winner here. Maybe it'll be Carlos on line 7. Carlos, come on, man. Don't disappoint. You ready to play?
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good luck.
God save us, everyone! We will burn inside the fires of 1,000 suns for the sins of our hands, the sins
That'll
of
live.
Our tongues.
Yeah!
Yeah.
He said it.
God save us, everyone!
New song, The Catalyst. Nicely done. You win tickets for our breakfast with Linkin Park.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
Way to go. Everybody that wins, you're going to get a chance to see the band up close. They're going to perform. You're going to be able to ask questions.
And they get raped.
What?
Yeah. There's a rapist in Linkin Park, dude.
No. There's what?
Wow. Are you kidding?
That's
what I heard.
Oh, Omar Roki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk baseball just for a minute. I'm not a huge fan, but Manny Ramirez is one of the biggest names in, Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
One of the best hitters ever. And he has left the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been with the Dodgers for a couple of years now, and it's always weird to me. It's funny when players get traded picture your job moving like on a moment's notice. All of a sudden, he's now living in Chicago. He's got, he's been living in Los Angeles for all this time. Now he's got to up and move his family to Chicago. There's a month left in the season. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that's odd. That would be a weird life.
Yeah, but he did arrive too late to be in the starting lineup last night, but they did end up putting him in the game. He did not get to bat because the game ended with the batter before him. But there he was in a White Sox uniform, and it must be quite an adjustment. Of course, we love Manny. Even though he's out of Southern California, we hope he'll stay in touch with us. And he joins us on the phone on the Kevin Minshew right now. Hey, Manny.
All right. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? Hooray. Juan está muy feo. I have a horn.
You do have a horn. Are you at some sort of a...
horn.
Are you at a Welcome to Chicago party? What's all that noise in the background, Manny?
El Chicago está hermosa. All right.
Let me explain just for a second. For some reason, Manny Ramirez has done like 100 press conferences in a row in English.
Yeah.
But in Chicago, he did it all in Spanish.
For the huge population of Hispanics?
I don't know. Why did you do that, Manny?
Because yo soy Dominicano. Hooray.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, we understand that, but you also speak excellent English, and most of the people that you were addressing in the press corps and at home also speak English.
Chimichanga con carne, pretty lady. Antonio Banderas.
Can you step away from the music just a little bit?
Mama say, mama sa, mama mango sa, eh, mambo, mambo.
All right, Manny.
Manny, you don't make any more sense in Spanish than you did in English, but Kevin's right. The music is so loud, we can barely hear you.
All right.
There you go. Good.
I'm walking outside because I have a band.
You have a band
for me.
You have a band
that's playing for you.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, pretty
okay.
lady.
Yes.
Where does Santa Claus live?
North Pole.
All right. I bet you have a vagina.
Yeah.
Yep.
Manny, we wanted to talk to you about cheese.
Hey, Manny Mears like vagina.
Right.
I love vagina. I love pickles. I love tuna fish.
Okay.
I love mayonnaise. And when you put them all together, you know what you get? Delicious sandwich.
Yeah. Okay.
Tuna fish sandwich.
Tuna fish?
Tuna fish.
All right. Could we talk about baseball for just a second? How did you feel about the Chicago White Sox picking you up from the Dodgers this week?
All right. I love white people. Chicago white people are great.
No.
Sometimes
no.
white people, they do your taxes. Sometimes your white people, your agent. I love all my white people.
No, this is the White Sox. The name
I
of the
know,
team
Manny
is...
Manny Ramirez have white socks. Manny Ramirez have black socks. Manny Ramirez have striped socks. Manny Ramirez have paisley socks. Sometimes when I get dressed with my Pelican, Jerry Maguire, my Pelican, he said, Manny Ramirez, why don't you wear a different pair of socks today? And I said, okay, Pelican.
Hey, aside from your talking...
If you got him.
Aside from your talking Pelican, listen, You've been traded. You're not on the same baseball team you were on before.
What?
You're playing for the Chicago White Sox now.
Shut up.
You're not a Los Angeles Dodger anymore. That's the point.
Hey, listen to me.
Yes. Okay.
Let your new life begin. Oh, what a country gets slim.
Manny.
Hooray.
Manny, you were number 99 famously through most of your career.
And I got
what number?
99 problem, a biche one.
Right. What number are you going to be wearing as a White Sox?
143.
There's no, you can't be 143.
I don't think you can be 100.
The numbers don't go
that's
that high.
That's not true. That's not true. I could be number 143 because on Facts of Life, Tootie was number 143 on the candy shop softball team.
Okay.
I am lost. I apologize.
Well,
I don't
think that translates to Major League Baseball, though.
Hola, tu puedes para Gria Macarena? Hey, pretty lady.
Yes.
Do you shave?
Yes.
All right.
I don't think we're going to get any more out of Manny.
I think that's about it.
I love Chicago. I love he hold on. I'm Manny Ramirez. I'm designated keeper for the Chicago Black Sox.
One of those, yeah.
Hooray.
Good luck.
We're listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Wednesday. Very excited about the film coming out this weekend called
Machete.
Actress Michelle Rodriguez joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we got to talk about the kids in America, Kevin.
Yes, we do. There are a couple of videos that are spectacular online right now. You can go check them out at kevinandbean.com. We put up a post with them. One of them is the daughter of a man, actually two parents that are in the room, mm-hmm. who are playing Modern Warfare. And apparently they've killed another guy like 10 times.
Okay.
So dad puts the headset on, I don't know how old she is, 6, 7, 8?
Something like that,
maybe
yeah.
8. And she starts smack talking. With the other player. And I mean, she brings it.
You know what, boy? We just won! Ha ha ha! You know what, motherfucking best player on the game, because you know what? You're going to lose the game!
She uses the F word and the N word.
Oh.
One of her parents is black.
Are you serious?
One of her parents is black. Her mom is black. I didn't see her dad.
Oh, my God.
But she is screaming at this guy for, I think it's 5 or 6 minutes.
Go play Monopoly, okay?
Because
you know what? This isn't the type of game that you want to play with us.
Now, so she's not on her own. They're feeding her lines.
She's going to be good loser. Yeah, when she grows
shocking.
Up.
Yeah, exactly, Lizzie. You're right about that. That's the shocking thing about it is first I thought, wow, are the parents going to be pissed when
right.
they see what the babysitter was doing while they were out? Then you realize it's her parents in the room that are encouraging this behavior.
Don't kill you, okay? Bring it.
You don't know me.
Don't know me like that.
You don't know my mom.
You don't know my mom.
Here's my favorite part. He's not using the F word.
Nope.
She's adding that. She's adding that to what he's feeding her.
My dad? My whole entire mother dad. No girls like you, because know what you are? You're a kid. I ain't scared of you. I'm not scared of you. I'm looking on my TV now. I'm not dead now. You killed my daddy, you mother out there.
So that goes on for like 10 minutes. So that's
wow.
good. That's fun.
What percentage of... parents, do you think, allow their kids to use the F word and the N word at that age?
Well, and not just in the house. She's on the headset talking to another player wherever that other player may
what
be.
What do you think that player is thinking?
I would find it funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You can't hear the other player's end of it.
Yeah, you would think it was hilarious if a 7-year-old was talking to you like
I would.
That. You would love that so much, but you would never in a trillion years let your kids talk like that to somebody.
Right. And this next one is the cutest little girl in the world. She's maybe 6.
Okay.
And she doesn't know what sex is yet. But she woke up and found her parents doing that. And dad got the video camera out and asked her about it. And listened to her.
Who was naked?
Daddy and mine.
And what happened?
Daddy and Mom's naked, and you're in trouble, you're in trouble, both of y'all.
Okay, so what happened?
Mommy was saying, and I heard you.
What was you at when you heard that?
I was out my bed.
You was in your room?
Uh-huh, and I was waking up and I heard you.
What did you hear?
Daddy and Mommy said,
You heard Daddy?
And you said, Mom said, Daddy said,
That is not, I did not do that.
Daddy screamed like a girl like that.
Daddy screamed like a girl.
Both of them scream like a girl, say, See, Daddy screamed like a girl.
Daddy screamed like a girl.
So, and you're in trouble. And you're in trouble.
So why does she think they're in trouble? Because they were naked? Because
they were naked. Like,
they were naked and they were making noise.
Does she think they're playing, though?
I think. I don't. I mean, I think she's way too... I hope she's too young to understand.
Yeah, she's too young.
She might be 6.
How confusing must your parents having sex be to you if you're that age, though?
Yeah.
You have no concept of what's happening there.
But I love her impression of them. Like,
And then you're like,
In the long tradition of Antoine,
he's climbing your windows, he's snatching your feet from the wall, trying to rape him, so y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife.
With the auto-tune, it doesn't really exist until it's on the auto-tune.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, there was Double Rainbow Guy.
Double Rainbow on the red cross the sky.
So the Gregory brothers, who are the ones who do the good work, they took the little girl.
Yes.
And they auto-tuned her. And it's the best thing you'll ever hear.
He's climbing your windows. He's snatching your people up.
Wow, sounds so much like Antoine.
That's not as much as it is Antoine.
By the way, the little World of Warcraft girl with the potty mouth, she needs to spend some time with the little girl and Sarah parents doing it to get her caught up to speed.
So here's the auto-tune of that.
Who you said was naked?
Daddy and Mom.
And what happened?
Mom said,
Who you hear?
Daddy and Mommy.
I bet my daughter knows my name. What did you hear?
Mom said,
You did not hear that.
Said,
That is not the truth.
Like,
my new favorite.
That is so great. I got to change my ringtone now.
Yes.
Go to KevinandBean.com to watch.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Wednesday. Not the choice I would make, but you'll have to live with it. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to the premiere of a very, very funny film that's opening in theaters everywhere on September the 10th. However, you get to see it before anybody else because you'll be at the premiere if you're one of the lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of passes to the premiere of The Virginity Hit.
Oh!
Producers Will Ferrell and Adam McKay bring you this movie about four young guys, friends who are trying to get their virgin friend laid, basically.
How many times have we found ourselves in that position? 10?
Yeah, on this show?
Yeah.
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 Strangely enough.
So his friend's trying to help him get laid, you know, via internet hookups and porn stars and all kinds of ways to get him laid. And meanwhile, they're documenting it all with a video camera and putting the results up on YouTube as the journey progresses. So it's very, very funny, and you're going to enjoy it. Be one of the first five callers right now, and you get a pair of passes to the premiere of The Virginity Hit.
You should go down to Tijuana.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
I got a hooker in Tijuana.
You remember his response, though, afterwards?
I'm over it. What's the big deal? For all we knew for a year of him, all he was saying, I have to get laid. I have to lose my virginity. And then he did. It's like, it's no big deal.
I'm saying, you know, when your only experience in life to be a Tijuana hooker.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I bet she really acted like she cared for him, though.
I'm surprised they didn't go the other way and he wasn't, like, hopelessly in love with her and he would never look at another woman because she was his first.
That certainly could have happened.
Yeah. Here's this thing about the Emmys I thought was an interesting story today.
Okay.
The major broadcast networks, their deal with the Emmy telecast is up. It was over on Sunday's telecast, okay?
Okay.
Their contract with the big four broadcasters ended
on
Sunday. So now they're renegotiating the deal. Which network's going to carry it, you know, for next year's Emmys.
Okay.
So the networks have gone to the Emmy people and said, we want two shows. Two different Emmy shows.
Two Emmys?
We want a show for us, the broadcast networks, and then have cable have its own show. Because we're tired of losing all of the Emmys to all of these cable shows.
You're kidding.
What a bunch of bitches.
The truth is, cable, AMC, and HBO, they're the ones who win almost all the awards, right?
We'll make better shows.
That's what they're saying.
Exactly.
Well, that's the point.
Make better shows.
They said we're tired of HBO coming in with their Temple Grandins and their Mad Men's and their Breaking Bads and winning all the Emmys. What about us? We're the big four networks. Well, to which I say, F you. When you're airing True Beauty on ABC, just maybe consider the fact that you're going to be embarrassed come Emmy time.
Modern Family won. You know why? Good show.
Good show. So Barry Levinson, who directed You Don't Know Jack, the story of Dr. Jack Kevorkian starring Al Pacino. He won an award.
Mm-hmm.
He said in this interview, it's a bit like crying over your own inadequacies, isn't it? He said, broadcast television used to do long form. They used to do miniseries. They used to do TV movies. And then they stopped. So it's hardly fair for them to say, gee, now that we don't get the Emmys, we're upset. It's hard to have any sympathy over things they abandoned because they're charting another course. And that's absolutely true.
And that's putting it nicely.
It is true in the movies and miniseries, you're right. They do not put the money and the time and the effort into making those kinds of shows anymore. But I guess they get the networks get their feelings hurt when shows like Lost don't win the Emmys because shows like Mad Men do.
But there also don't. But there doesn't need to be 200 awards for miniseries either. By the way, that's a little over the top. Half that show's miniseries.
Well, not really. It's just they give the same awards to miniseries and TV made for TV movies that they do for series. It's the same awards.
There's just a smaller.
Seems group. Like it.
It's just you got a chapped ass because you didn't see Temple Grandin or that's The Pacific
true.
Or all these other
I saw
shows.
The Pacific.
And a lot of people are, and that's what the networks are saying. Well, no one even watches those shows. We get more people watching, you know, a bad reality show than they do watching their highfalutin TV movies.
But this isn't who gets more
viewers.
Well,
that's the point. It's about excellence in programming and broadcasting. It's not about.
That's
what
lame.
The most popular show is.
They're doing what they want to do because they make money.
Right.
It.
They're whores, and they're upset because they're not being treated like high society ladies.
Right.
And you can't have it both ways. Make better stuff. It's just that simple. But now they're complaining. They say they want two separate shows, a cable Emmys and a broadcast Emmys, which I just found hilarious.
It is.
So a good Emmys and a bad Emmys.
A bunch of bitches. But the Emmy people are saying, hey, you know what? If we don't get HBO, we're not going to get Tom Hanks to come and do our show. We're not going to get Al Pacino. Right. We're not going to get all these big stars that do cable movies and miniseries.
Yeah.
Instead, you know, we'll be stuck with, you know, Jeff Probst and Ryan Seacrest bantering up on the stage. So, I don't know. Thought it was interesting. As I did this next story. Oh, shoot. I'm out of time already. Son of a gun. Where does the time go?
I don't know, man.
Where does it go?
It flies.
Well, come back in an hour. I got some really cool stuff today, and I will get to it as time permits. But let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall we? Gloria Estefan, she's 53 years old today. Hit it, Steve. Okay, don't bother. It's all right, Steve. I'm good.
Steve fell asleep at the wheel?
Steve, I'm good.
Steve is searching.
I'm fine. No, I'm good, Steve. Don't worry about
searching,
it.
Still
all good
searching.
Here.
Next hour, Steve.
Dr. Phil is 60 years old today. Barry.
How many ways can a person say, hey, look at me?
Good. Two birthdays ago. Yeah. That would have been very, very strong. Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees is 64, and comedian actress Lily Tomlin celebrates her 71st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We have a little bit of a discussion going on behind the scenes. I think we need the Kevin B. listeners to help us out. Help us see our way clear through this difficult, thorny issue.
Well, we start arguing in the studio, you know, off the air where we're playing commercials and records and stuff, and then Bean says something ridiculous.
And then we all argue with him.
Yeah. And then, you know, we finally have to bring it on the air. Now, Psycho Mike, this all started with you.
Yes.
And Slash. Explain.
Right. He was the guest on Loveline, and that was the night that I decided to drink the breast milk. So there was a video of it up at our official website, kevinandbean.com, and then at the lovelineshow.com as well. Bean was watching the video, and he said, gross, nasty, breast milk, blah, blah, blah. Hey, did Slash wear his sunglasses during the entirety of the interview? And I said, yeah, that's his deal. You know, he's Slash. Bean said, what a tool.
Right.
Yeah. I said, no, well, not at all. He's Slash. He wore his sunglasses indoors because he's him.
Because he's Slash.
Yeah. Just like he has giant hoop earrings and wore a leather jacket. And if any of us tried to pull off either, it would look dumb, you know, but he's Slash.
Yeah, easy in the leather jacket.
No, but he had, like, you know, the snap button.
Especially the leather jacket.
How dare you?
He's essentially in a costume.
Yes.
Of his persona.
Kind of. Yeah. So, and as a lot of men and women who have unique lifestyles wear. I mean, it's not a Halloween costume, but it is, like
part
Lisa
of his
said,
persona.
It's part of your persona. It's a costume that helps kind of add to your...
You couldn't say this slower.
All right, so here's...
So it's amazing that they gave him his own radio show. Is it what you've heard about this show?
So then Bean says, correctly, sunglasses indoor equals tool. And then we said, but with exceptions. There are that is the rule. Slash is an exception because that's part
There's
of who he is.
There's several exceptions.
There's several exceptions. Yeah.
Okay, but let me before we move on to
which Bean said no exceptions.
No exceptions.
All tools. Let me
just say this. Let me clarify. Here's my whole thing. I love Slash. I couldn't agree more with Kevin, with Mike, with Ralph, with Lisa on this. Slash is just a terrific guy. We love having him on the program. I'm a huge fan of his music going all the way back to Guns N' Roses and everything he's done since. I really like the guy. Genuinely, I like him.
But he's a tool?
I'm not saying... Yeah, he's a tool is shorthand for that's a tool move, and I believe costume or not inexcusable. He's the nicest guy in the world, but that's a dick move, wearing sunglasses indoors. I think it's rude to Dr. Drew and to Mike and to the other people that are in the room that he's having a conversation with to sit there at night indoors wearing sunglasses. I don't care who you are.
Why,
I think that's a tool move.
Why is it rude? Can they not talk to him if they don't gaze lovingly into his eyes?
I don't think they have to see someone. Like, Bill Shatner interviewed Gene Simmons and asked him to take his sunglasses off.
Uh-huh.
Because they're in this intimate one-on-one conversation, and it's just odd to try to talk to someone with their sunglasses on like that.
But there are no exceptions for you, Bean. Like, for example, Ralph says that's part of Slash's persona.
Right.
The top hat. The glasses, mm-hmm. the hair, everything. That's like part of who he is.
Look, I understand if he's on stage and that's how he wants to look, like Marilyn Manson wearing a costume. I get that. But
there's a video camera.
His wife's on stage.
He's having a conversation with a guy in a room, though, on a radio station.
In radio.
Yeah, and those, you know what I mean? Those guys don't ever get off the stage. That their whole life is a performance.
All the world, it is a stage. Secondly, let's get this out of the way. I refuse to take, any type of criticism on fashion and a guy's look from the guy who wears shorts to the most formal events on the planet, and no matter what anybody else says.
Nobody's a bigger look-at-me dresser than you are with your cowboy shirts.
Look at my Rasta hat.
Oh, look at my pigtails. Oh, I'm just doing this because it's comfortable. Yeah. I don't want any attention with my pigtails.
And that totally enhances...
Dick move. Tool.
Being, and that's part of your look, and it enhances your look and what people... see in your personality,
which is badness. I have horrible fashion sense, and I'm not holding myself up as the standard in any way, shape, or form. Please don't misunderstand. But I would never, ever, ever come in there and do a radio show
you
guys wearing my sunglasses. You know why?
You should.
Tool move.
Yes, you would be a tool.
Yes,
and so would I. You know who's not a tool? Slash.
Right.
But he's a tool if he's doing a tool move, though. Look.
No, he's not. You can get away with doing a tool move if you're Slash.
Just because you like him, he's allowed to be a tool in this area? Look,
no,
what about our
it's
what
not
about
a tool
former...
move when a guy who's built his persona around it is doing it. When it's part of his natural organic makeup, it's not a tool
Let's
move.
Let's take a call from Chris because I think he has a good question as well. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, my question was for Bean. You know what? It's all about the persona. Like Jack Nicholson, he always wears his sunglasses inside because that's who he is. That's part of his getup, is wearing the sunglasses. Do you believe he's a tool?
It is a tool. I respect Mr. Nicholson enormously. Tremendous actor. That's a tool move for him to wear his sunglasses indoors.
Oh, it is, and it's Jack.
Hey, look how,
I kind of agree with Bean.
It's, hey, look how cool I am. Look how much better I am. Look how... I'm allowed to put up walls around me and you're not. It's just, I think it's a tool
move. Wow,
are
you reading into this? Maybe it's just wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. But why indoors? Why?
Maybe you're stoned and you don't see your red-rimmed eyes.
By the way, there could be that.
Ralph hit it right on the nose. When I used to be really into using stimulants, a lot of times you're hypersensitive to light and you don't want people to see the fact that you're geeked out of your mind.
You can't tell if a person is high immediately by looking in their eyes.
And there's another thing, too. A lot of people, even though they're performers, are shy people, and they don't want to look you in the eyes. And it's just much more comfortable for them to put up that kind of small shield with the outside world.
And by the way, Lisa, didn't you come to a Halloween costume party dressed as Slash one year?
I did.
What was part of your costume? What did you wear?
Sunglasses. I had to take them off. I couldn't see where the hell I was going.
Right. When you see an impersonator do Jack Nicholson, what's the first thing they do?
Well,
they
put on sunglasses. That's what he wears, yeah.
Right.
I don't see how that's proof.
Because
that
it's by definition who they are. It's by definition who they are. You can't get any more associated than you can with those things.
It comes in, though,
by them wearing what they're known for is hardly being a tool.
It wasn't one-on-one, first of all. And second of all,
with Psycho Mike.
Well, no, with Dr. Drew, it's a show. There's video
cameras.
There's
three people and it's radio. It's us in this room. It's the same thing.
But there, you know what? When Slash came in here, he didn't have his sunglasses on, and we didn't film it. Maybe it's a camera thing. I don't know.
He could associate it with performance, which, you know, a radio show, even though nobody sees you, it's still kind of a performance.
It's a public appearance. If you're Nicholson and you're at the Oscars and you sit in the front row and you're wearing your sunglasses, that's not a tool move. I'm sorry, because you're Jack.
Tom Likas wears his sunglasses all the time.
But he's a tool with or without sunglasses. So it doesn't make...
To me, it makes him more of a tool.
Being a tool is not decided by sunglasses or not.
Here's the thing. I think the rule is pretty solid. That if you wear sunglasses inside, you're a tool. But there are very clear exceptions. And
okay,
certainly Slash has to be at the top of that.
But what doesn't make sense to me, and we are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. What doesn't make sense to me is the inconsistency of somebody saying, and nobody in this room has said this, but there could be somebody listening who says, I don't like Tom Likas, so he's a tool for wearing sunglasses indoors. But I like Howard Stern, so that's cool that he does it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to make that distinction one versus the other.
Because that's the distinction you're making, Bean. You're saying, I love Slash. If he didn't wear sunglasses indoors, he'd be perfect. He wouldn't be a tool. But because he puts his sunglasses on, then he's a tool in that area.
I'm saying Tom Likas
would be a tool with or without sunglasses. It makes no bearing whatsoever on Tom Likas.
And I'm saying it's a tool move to wear sunglasses indoors, no matter who you are, whether the person is somebody that you like or don't like. That person is making a tool move.
But you're making the assumption that other people make the distinction on whether they like them or not. I feel that I make the distinction on whether it's consistent with their persona and if they have a look or not. Just like some people typically overdress no matter where they go. A guy like Tim Gunn, he's always in a suit.
I got the deal breaker for Bean.
Yes.
Did you ever see Roy Orbison wear his sunglasses indoors, Bean?
All the time.
Was he a tool?
He had very serious eye problems. I mean, there were medical reasons
for that. He could have worn regular glasses for those eye problems. He was very myopic, but he had a lot of dark situations where he could have worn just regular eyeglasses. He chose to do the fashion statement of making prescription sunglasses. Was Roy Orbison a tool?
If what you're saying is correct, yes. That was not my understanding
There's
of what
no
was going on with his
eyes. There's no exception to your rule. There's an exception to every rule.
There's no exception.
There's exceptions to every rule, dude.
1-800-520-1067. Please help us settle this. Weigh in. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Actress Michelle Rodriguez from Machete. Coming up in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're going to get back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What are people emailing about the you wear your sunglasses inside you're a tool, Kevin?
Well, that's the rule that Bean is saying is 100%. I'm saying it's about 98%. There are some people who can get away with it. That's what I'm saying. Slash is certainly one of them. Here's Chris. He says, I bet Jack sunglasses are prescription. They are.
They have the kind that go lighter.
But you can also
when you
get
go inside.
Regular prescription glasses.
A lot of people are embarrassed to wear glasses. They think it makes them look like a dork, so they choose to wear sunglasses. That was like Roy Orbison's case we were talking about earlier.
Audrey says they are probably wearing sunglasses because they're looking old and can't accept it. That's possible, by the way.
Yeah.
Staring at boobs without getting caught.
That's an upside.
That's an upside, by the way.
Yeah.
And finally, Bean has the nerve to call someone rude. Really? WTF. Hi, kettle. I'm pot. You're black. That was my favorite.
I'm not claiming that I'm good at about anything. I'm just saying people who wear sunglasses inside are tools, no matter whether you think they're cool or not.
I think their coolness can overcome the rule.
Sure.
And Jack Nicholson is, and Slash is, and I don't know
else.
But
all fashion is arbitrary, and fashion, you can wear anything, and some people can look good in it, and some people don't. I think it's all part of the same animal.
I just agree with Bean that most people that wear them, Bean says all, I say most. That's a tool move.
Yeah.
Well, Bean takes it personally. It's something Bean takes it personally when someone wears their sunglasses. Like they're trying to avoid him somehow. Maybe it's an Asperger's thing. They have to make eye contact or something. But
Matt writes in, when Jack Nicholson or Slash first started wearing sunglasses indoors, it was a tool move. Yes. But just because they keep doing it, because it becomes part of their persona, doesn't stop it from continuing to be a tool move. And I think I agree with Matt. I think that's where I'm coming from as well.
I don't think it was ever a tool move with both of those because they were cool enough to overcome it.
And Ralph hit it right on the nose, too. Whether or not you don't like that particular fashion choice, if you think it's ugly or dumb, it's all subjective. It's all arbitrary, you know. But it doesn't mean that that person is a tool. Like, Bean's drawing this blanket statement that everyone that does this.
But it is different than the kind of pants you choose to wear. You are actively hiding the expressive part of your face that we all search out when we're talking to someone.
Like Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What a tool.
Somebody called about Stevie Wonder.
All right, let's take a few phone calls here. We don't have much time. Sarah is on line 7. Let's see what she thinks. She's maybe even reading more into it than I am. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Sarah.
I was brought up old school Irish that when you meet somebody, you look them in the eye and you greet them, or else you're being shifty and you're hiding something.
Ooh,
shifty and hiding something.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Shifty.
We don't want anybody
to
show this to being shifty.
It doesn't seem a tiny bit rude to you guys who disagree with me. If you're having a conversation with somebody in a room, they're 3 feet away, and they're looking you in your eyes, and you're looking at their sunglasses. Doesn't seem a little bit rude?
No.
No,
I'm not worried about it.
I don't think so. I think it might be a tool move, but I don't find it rude. They could be. could be looking at your boobs, Sarah.
That's
what the guy was suggesting, is that that's a good way to not get caught.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's try Taylor, line 2, 1-800-520-1067, if you want to call in on this topic. Hi, Taylor, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So glad to be on the show.
Thank you.
But, I think the rule is because of people like Slash. If you're doing it and you're not Slash, you're trying to be Slash. You know, and that's the reason why the rule exists.
So if you're copying people who can get away with it.
Exactly.
You're with Kevin, then, that there are exceptions. There are people who can pull it off because of what else they've got going on, but most of us can't.
Exactly. Like, most people are, like, most people just can't be that cool or, you know, BA or anything
right,
like that.
Right, because Slash is Slash.
It's true. But I'm going to say that Slash is still Slash and is still really cool, but is now not making a douche move if he takes the sunglasses off when he's having a conversation with somebody.
But every other person that the callers and you and Bean and Lisa have given an example of that is a tool that wears sunglasses indoors would be a tool regardless if they had sunglasses on or not. That's also the
point. There's a lot of people who wear no sunglasses at all, even in sunlight, or just massive tools.
Right.
It doesn't make you less of a tool because you don't wear sunglasses indoors.
Right, I agree. Confused. But I can still agree with Bean that for the rule, a majority of people that wear sunglasses, that is a tool move that makes you more of a tool.
Because they're desperate to try to look cool by mimicking guys like Jack Nicholson and Slash, which is what Taylor's saying.
Right.
You see tons of dudes in the front rows of Laker games with sunglasses on.
Right.
Most of those guys tools.
Right.
Jack, not a tool.
Right.
Do you think he wears sunglasses at home by himself? Because he wears the same pants.
I wouldn't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't understand how that helps.
Yeah.
But thanks for bringing that up.
It's a fashion choice. Everything else is a fashion choice,
but, I mean,
which you do at home.
Look, Donatella Versace probably wears pajamas when she sleeps. It doesn't mean that that's a fashion. You know what I'm saying? No one looks
not
at it.
A dress in a gown or anything. I mean, people dress differently at home.
All right. Mm-hmm. Let's take Jake real quick on line five. He's got another question that takes this conversation a step further about Slash. Hi, Jake. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hi.
Hey, so my question is towards Mike. I'm just saying, Mike, you're saying Slash is the exception.
Yes.
What if you're working out at the gym and he saunters in with the sunglasses? Your first gut instinct isn't, look at that douche wearing sunglasses at the gym.
No, my first gut instinct would be like, what the hell is Slash doing in a gym?
But then, Jake, let me ask
that's
you the
bizarre.
Question.
Bizarre. I've never seen that.
If you notice it and you think, wow, that's a tool, don't you then go, oh, but it's Slash, so that's cool?
No, because
I do.
It's the gym. What are you doing?
But it's different. You're doing some physical activity where automatically wearing anything on your head like that would be counterproductive, as opposed to like hanging out in a radio studio wearing sunglasses or going to an award show.
Exactly.
No, I mean, I think what Jake's going for is
there are wearing snorkels and flippers at the gym, too. I'd say, wow, that's a tool thing because it's completely inappropriate.
Yeah, that's a good
example.
Because
he's got to do bench pressing now.
And I think a lot of people draw make an exception for sunglasses indoors because it's something that's designed to serve a function, and that's block out the sunlight, but you're doing it indoors. But people wear cargo pants even though they're not on a safari. I mean, there's a lot of fashion like
all right, let's
articles
take,
that
Mike
come
line
about.
Seven.
Yeah, he'll have wearing a motorcycle jacket who doesn't drive a motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll have,
I mean,
he'll have the final word here. By the way, that doesn't impact your ability to look at and talk to the person, though.
Right.
Mike, you're going to get the final word
about?
Here on this conversation.
What do you think they're doing to you?
Kind of secrecy they have going behind there. All right, Mike, hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I just had one thought. If you guys ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yep. Love it.
Season one, Larry David said it best. There's two types of people that wear sunglasses indoors. Blind people and assholes.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for the call.
Well said.
They called him Machete.
Been a long time. Maybe going all the way back to Piranha 3D that I've looked forward to a movie as much as I have this one. Ladies and gentlemen, Machete comes out on Friday. Could not be more excited. We had Danny Trejo on a few days ago. And now from the film, Michelle Rodriguez joins us here on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Michelle.
How
are
you? Doing?
Very good.
I'm good.
We're so psyched about this movie, and it was such a thrill to have Mr. Trejo on, too. That guy is so badass. I know he's the nicest guy in the world, but he terrifies me every time I talk to him or see him.
I know.
He has both qualities somehow. He's the nicest guy in the world, and yet you're afraid. Because you can tell he's lived the life.
He's got an imposing presence.
Absolutely. Now, of course, by now, everybody knows, you know, the history of Machete, how the movie came to be made because the trailer from Death Trap got such a strong response. How did you first hear about it and get involved, Michelle?
Actually, it was a phone call from Robert. I didn't know much about the trailer even. It was I heard about it, but I never actually watched it till he gave me a phone call and said, hey, I'm going to do a movie based on this. You know, you want to be part of it. And I was like, heck yeah, man, I'd love to work with you. And then I saw it, and I was like, dude, this is going to be crazy.
When you get a call from Robert Rodriguez, you automatically say yes to anything, right?
Well, kind of. You know, he does like to get a little bit more sexy than what I'm used to. You
know yes, he mean? Does.
What do you think it is about you, Michelle? And you're so good at these kinds of roles that require you to be super, super active. But what is it in your personality that attracts you to, you know, Fast and the Furious and SWAT and those kinds of movies and Machete as well?
I know. All the violence.
Yeah.
I guess growing up in Jersey City will do it to you.
Sure. Sure, there's that. Ralph, you've seen it. Tell us.
Yeah, Michelle, this is Ralph. I've seen the film, and although you certainly kick ass in this film the way you do in a lot of your roles, I think the role of Luce in this movie really is sort of the heart and soul of Machete. If there's any sort of genuine, heartwarming performance and message that kind of comes across in the film, you certainly deliver it, you know?
That's so sweet, man. Thank you.
Wait, it's not Danny Trejo?
No, he doesn't deliver a lot of message delivering.
The warm and fuzzy? Oh, he delivers messages with a machete.
But Machete don't text. We know that much.
Yeah, Machete don't text. He improvises.
But the stuff about the network and the things you say about immigration and things, it is sort of a kinder, softer role for you, despite the fact that you get to do some ass-kicking as well.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Robert's an amazing guy. You know, I love also the exploitation genre. I mean, because it's like comedy, man. You could get away with murder with the things that come out of your mouth, you know?
Yeah,
literally in this movie.
Now, this movie is coming at an interesting time in America because the debate over immigration has been so inflamed in recent months because of what's going on in Arizona. Is there going to be any kind of reaction, do you think, as a result of some of the things that are in this movie? I mean, do you expect or do you hope that somehow this is going to turn into a political football as well?
You know, definitely. I agree with Jessica, and I agree with Robert on the fact that it's going to create massive amounts of dialogue. But at the end of the day, any person who tries to get politically serious on a subject regarding the film, I'm just going to look at them, laugh my butt off, and say, a guy is swinging on intestines in this film.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah, Danny does pull out some guy's intestines, use it as a rope to escape out of a window, which is pretty spectacular.
Wait a minute. Somebody's intestines can hold up a guy that size with all those knives?
I know, man. Don't try this at home.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, the political aspect of it really is just simply the backdrop for what turns out to be just a kick-ass exploitation film. Which is
the best. Yeah, I'm loving it. It's definitely refreshing. It's something that I haven't seen before, for sure.
Tell us about the weird cast. I mean, all of these people in the same movie. Robert De Niro, Jessica Alba, you, Lindsay Lohan, Steven Seagal, Cheech Marin. I mean, that's a...
Don Johnson. Let's not forget Don Johnson.
What other movie has ever had such a weird range of actors in it?
I think it's just everybody just wanted to come out and play, because Robert kind of gives you that he lets you, you know, play. So it's kind of everybody's off their guard. Nobody feels like they have to be pretentious or they have to guard themselves or their image, because it's an exploitation film. And they know it's going to look hot and that he's going to cut it up and have some sort of message that is deeper than just any exploitation film, and you get to have fun in the process.
The message is don't F with Danny Trejo. That's the message.
That's one Mexican you don't want to F with.
It does seem, Michelle, this kind of movie gives you license just to ham it up as much as you want, and you don't kind of have to worry about playing it too close to the vest in your performances.
That's very true. Very true. I can release.
Yeah, but De Niro and Don Johnson, all these guys are just playing these larger-than-life characters, and they seem like they're having a ball doing it.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing with him. You know, I'd love to go and have playtime in Austin Studios with Robert. Also, it's like you don't have a big studio, you know, looming over you, towering over you, telling you what to say and what charts to follow. You know what I mean?
That's a unique thing for movies these days, right? To have one single boss.
For sure. It's an attraction, for sure.
This is the voice of actress Michelle Rodriguez on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about Machete, which opens up everywhere on Friday. By the way, as an actress, and I know you've been very busy over the course of your whole career, but what a 1-2 punch, and how different could the experiences have been of filming Machete and Avatar almost back-to-back? I mean, talk about completely different experiences, right?
They are completely different experiences, but both those guys level. That's one thing that they both have in common.
They both what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
They're both rebels.
Rebels, yes. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, one's just translating it into a language that the world can understand by you know, masses will come and gather to go see the message. And then the other's translating it into a language that's very specific.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And one that we can't wait to see.
And I know you've got Battle Los Angeles next year, and maybe if you have time, Michelle, you can come on and talk to us about that one when we get closer. But we can't wait. Could not be more excited about Machete. We're psyched that you're in it. It looks like so much. Much fun. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Lots of love, guys.
Thanks,
Michelle.
Rock it out.
That movie comes out this Friday. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 8:53.
Rape.
Oh my God.
I was unclear whether Ralph was a fan of the gentleman we were talking about or if he hadn't decided yet.
Oh, no, fan. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Big fan.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up with Bjork? It's been a while since we've checked in with our favorite Icelandic pixie. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's happening?
I know how I'm going to go. How you're going to go?
Yep.
How you going to die?
When I go.
Okay.
Okay.
How you going to do that?
Well, I'm not sure how I'm literally going to go, but when I'm gone, I know where I'm going.
To help.
No.
I don't know.
My body. What's going to happen to my body?
Okay.
I'm going to be cremated.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have my ashes pressed into an album.
Okay.
All right.
There's a company called andvinylly.com that will press you into a record. And they will record whatever you want on there, and they'll make a cover for you, and you can be a long-playing RP. So they're playing LP, rather.
So they'll make the record out of you, and then you can put any song you want on it?
Yes.
All right.
But your body will be the record.
So your loved ones can take the record, you know, if they've got a turntable, and they can put you on there, and then they put the needle down, and then they play you, and then you are the record. The record is you. You are the record. We are the champions.
Yeah. I think I'll pass on that one.
Come on! How awesome is that? You get to be a record.
I know people who would love to do that.
That'd be a CD.
Sure.
That doesn't work with CDs. You got to be a record.
All right. Well, I don't want to be a record.
Well, first of all, Kevin, I have a turntable, as does Psycho Mike, as do many people these days.
DJ but Omar Khan.
Right. The new trend has been to do creative things with ashes. That's been the last couple of years. Like, you can get jewelry made out of them. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff people are doing with ashes
now. Can I get sunglasses?
You can get sunglasses if you want. Wear them indoors, sure.
I'm wearing my sunglasses when I'm cremated indoors in the crematorium, and then I'm being pressed into a record. And it's going to be Heat of the Moment by Asia. That's my
answer.
Oh,
wow. Great.
Yeah.
So, Mike, if I were made into sunglasses, they would be light sunglasses. And you, because you're Hispanic, they would be darker.
They'd be brown, yeah.
All right. Okay. I like it.
Turtle shell.
I'm in.
All right. So when little Olivia, God bless her, when she pulls the Asia record off the shelf to remember dear old dad, all she's going to remember is...
Heat of the Moment.
All she's going to remember is what a tool dad was to leave her an Asia record.
Burning Deadhead. My body into ashes.
It was the heat of the moment.
That's right. Uh-huh. Dad sure had bad taste in music.
Oh,
she's gonna say.
Rocks.
I'm glad he's dead.
Of the moment. You can play me.
Yeah.
Playing lyrics out.
I'm out.
Saw him this weekend, by the way.
Who?
You saw Asia?
Down at Club Nokia, down in L.A. Live.
Come on.
They're
awesome.
Not still alive and
awesome.
Playing.
Come on. You gotta.
Thanks, everybody down there at Club Nokia, by the way. Who said, Ralph, you're here. I said, Asia's here. How could I not be here?
And then you could have sat in any seat in the arena, couldn't you?
How dare you?
All empty except for you.
It was a packed house, and we rocked.
Ralph was the only one there.
We rocked.
It's a private show, right? You hired them to play your apartment, right?
Our apartment, right? So, speaking of people who should be killed and pressed into music.
Yes.
Margaret Cho's got a new album.
Is this her first musical album?
Wait, yes. She's singing?
Yes, she's singing.
She was a comic.
But she's singing hilarious comedy songs, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Taking her patented comic stylings and putting them to music.
There's so few people that can pull that
off.
Because
she has so much talent. She can't just limit it to being bad on stage doing bad stand-up. Now she has to be bad musically doing comedy.
Oh, no.
The album is called Cho Dependent.
See
what she did there? If that gives you any indication as to the type of comical content she has on her songs. The problem is, she's backed by, like, some amazing musicians who are helping her out on the CD. Like, Fiona Apple helps her out, and Ben Lee, and a bunch of really talented people are involved with putting her on record. All wasting their time, by the way, all these people.
They're very valuable time.
She is, of course, going to be one of the contestants on Dancing with the Stars, so she's capitalizing on that moment to release the new CD this week. And in case you doubt me, here's a little cut of a song. I think this is the first single off of her hilarious comedy CD.
And I'm sorry I shot you in the face. I got this feeling I was way off base. And I'm sorry I killed the deer. I only wanted you to be near.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
See, it's a spoof on all those country songs about people apologizing because she murders this guy, and she says, I hit you with a brick, and I shot you, and I ran you over with my car.
That's
and you can
funny.
See why it's funny.
Yeah, where's the comedy, though? I thought that was the...
That is funny. Don't you get it? She's killing this guy, and then she apologizes.
I guess I just don't get it.
So over your head.
Yeah, but like you pointed
She's too
out,
deep.
Like you pointed out, the music behind it's amazing.
Yeah.
Still a guitar player.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Here's musically, it's great. The only poor element is the name of the person on the CD.
And the lyrics. And the singing.
Not even funny anymore.
Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, a lot of attention has been paid to those people who made the cast this year. However, a piece in today's Hollywood Reporter is much more interesting to me. It's about the people they went for but couldn't get.
Ah.
People who turned them down to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Ah.
Interesting list. For example, would you have liked to have seen Sylvester Stallone doing the role on Dancing with the Stars? Apparently he was approached and declined. Political commentator Ann Coulter said at no point could
her legs withstand the weight of dancing, she would just snap like twigs. No, she didn't say that, but she turned them down as well. Condoleezza Rice said pass. Billionaire Richard Branson said no thank you.
He would have been fun.
The real-life Aaron Brockovich.
What?
Where, they make this, where are they making this list up in ABC, by the way? Tim Allen, former sitcom star Tim Allen, was asked and declined. Suzanne Summers of Three's Company. I guess you would fill up the old lady slot. They always have one. Kirstie Alley passed. Joel McHale of Community said no. And Price is Right host Drew Carey. Can you imagine how we would have gone at Joel McHale if he had said yes?
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
We would have tortured him. We would have made him listen to Margaret Cho songs over and over and over again.
We've had friends who have done the show, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla. Yes. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to explain why they do it, but they seem to really enjoy it when they get on it.
It's a huge publicity boost for whoever.
Yes, but it's an enormous personal embarrassment to anyone that we know that has been on that show.
Sure, there's that.
And should be.
Hey, look.
You'd be better off wearing sunglasses indoors than you would be being on Dancing with the Stars. That's all I'm saying.
Every single year, you know, they struggle to put stars on that show.
Yes.
You know, that's the problem, is that the real stars won't say yes.
Sylvester Stallone, though. That would have been awesome.
Amazing.
Check in with him tomorrow.
Foxtrot. I'm going to waltz. I'll do the waltz. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dr. Phil, 60 years old today. Barry Gibb of the Bee Gees is 64. Lily Tomlin, comedian, actress for many years, Oscar nominated. Once, she was 71. She is 71 years old today. And Gloria Estefan, Kevin, 53 years old, the Miami Sound Machine, still knocking it out.
Oh, God.
Still making
I hate
you shake your booty.
I hate them so much.
Give me a little 1, 2, 3. Give me a little 1, 2, 3.
The heavy sound.
I don't think that's Miami Sound Machine. If it was, I would like it.
I don't think.
Unfortunately, it's not.
She sounds bad. I don't know.
We're out of time. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz Beat.
All right, we got an email from a listener. I don't know if he's a listener, actually. It's just somebody who sent us a song.
Mm-hmm.
And we get this all the time through the email. And he sent us a YouTube link. And it was a song about Paris Hilton.
Oh, very very timely, because she just got arrested in Las Vegas over the weekend.
And that's what it's about. And we have, is your name Ron?
It is Ron, yes.
All right. Now, Ron.
Yes.
How long have you been writing music?
I've been teaching myself guitar for about 4 months, and I've been really writing for maybe a couple months.
Wow. Yeah. That's impressive, then. Good. I mean, most people can't play a song after you know, 4 months and write one and record their
Let's
own original
Let's hold off
thing.
On that till we hear it.
is the Paris Hilton song Cocaine Arrest, which is what the title is on YouTube if folks want to seek it out, is this the first thing you posted?
No, I've posted songs about her sister, Nikki Hilton, and Nikki Hilton loses her sunglasses all the time. I wrote a song about losing her Ray-Bans. I wrote a song about Lindsay Lohan went to jail, and I did. I rewrote the words to a song that was made in the 40s about Lindsay going to jail.
Good.
Did a couple songs about Allie from The Bachelorette.
So it's all about reality stars, basically.
I've done some. I rewrote the birthday song for a bunch of celebrities, and I did a song about somebody I work with named Karen. And I've done.
What's the goal of your songs that you put on YouTube about the celebrities? Are you hoping to get some sort of a viral hit, and you can be, you know, the next Double Rainbow guy?
I'm doing this because I love to write music, and okay. I like to write words, and I'm teaching myself guitar, and this is really forcing me to practice.
Good for you. All right, let's hear a little
let's
bit
not.
Of
Let's not hear it.
No,
let's
hear
now I feel bad. No, because now I feel bad, because he sounds like a cool guy and he's trying to learn guitar.
Well, I'm sure he's a great guy, but let's see how his song sounds. Paris Hilton's song, Cocaine Arrest. Let's hear a little bit of this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Paris was in Vegas for a night out on the town, driving with her boyfriend, the richest guy around. Guess who was behind them and had to do a stop? That's right, yes, it was a Vegas cop.
All right, now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ron, are you making the words up as you're going along?
I got home from work, sat down in front of the computer, put on the notepad, and I wrote those words out in about 2 hours. I just that's how I write. I just think something up, and I put it on the paper.
It and just then, flows.
And then I threw some chords on the screen that I know that I can play, and then it took me a couple hours to get a good recording.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, a lot of times that's the case with geniuses. You know, you look at Paul McCartney. He says he wrote Yesterday in 10 minutes. Right. I'm just saying, sometimes inspiration just hits you and hits you hard.
Right, but then, Ron, so here's my question to you. Did you think, hey, maybe I should
Let it breathe for a night. I'm going to go to sleep, and then when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to listen to it with fresh ears and see how it sounds and maybe, you know, rewrite or fix the problems or whatever.
No.
You didn't do that.
No, I wrote the thing out, and I knew it was perfect, and I wanted to record it, but I was so tired, I just struggled to get the recording done.
Right. So you knew it was perfect immediately.
Yeah, that's how I write. Mm.
Okay, let's hear verse two.
Boyfriend did a test outside and went for DUI. With bail at 2,000, he's home without a try. Cops escorted Paris into the Wynn Hotel. That's when things didn't turn out well.
Right, so you're saying you didn't, and then you didn't, like, the next day listen to it and say, hey, I wonder if that could be improved on a little bit.
No, I woke up in the morning, and I listened to it, and then I played it for a bunch of people, and everybody loves it. I think it's great.
They were friends, or they were captive somehow?
kind of friends, maybe.
Did you say that? I'm sorry. I want to go back for a second. So Paris's boyfriend, he submitted to a DUI test, and then he – what was the second half of that line? Something about him being without a try?
He posted bail.
Okay, the bail was $2,000, so I'm saying that he bailed out for $2,000 without a try, meaning he didn't have to struggle to get the money.
And you're happy with that line?
Well, I'm not happy with that line.
Okay.
But it fits,
it fits.
It worked.
Okay, all right.
All right, do we have time for one more verse?
Sure.
Because I really want to see how this ends out.
Paris wanted lip balm and opened up her purse. Cops say, guess what fell out? That evil powder curse. Tests say it was cocaine, so off to jail we go. Paris said, no way, that's not my blow.
I like that. I like it.
So here's what I'm saying. You seem like a cool guy.
Thank you. I am.
Maybe. I'm just suggesting maybe some more rehearsal time. Like some of the best bands take years before they're ready for the public to hear their stuff.
But that's the beauty of the internet, Kevin. That's why YouTube is such a miracle, is because you don't have to be major label recording artist to get your song out there. A guy like our boy Ron here can sit in his house and put a song up that millions of people can see. Now, granted, only 48 have seen it, but millions could see it if they wanted to, because you know the technology is here now. You can share your art with the world instantly.
I agree with you 100%.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do, Ron. I am a Ron advocate at this point.
Ron, I'm just suggesting that sometimes it takes work to create art.
You're right. There are times when I do go back in and edit, but this was a timely thing, and I wanted it on the air right away.
I don't think – I don't listen to Kevin, man. He didn't know what he's talking about. This song's perfect the way it is. Don't ever change, Ron.
Well, I appreciate it as I use my DJ voice. So
yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Ron. And again, you can search for Paris Hilton's song Cocaine Arrest if you want to hear the last 24 verses. We didn't have time to play it all. But, Ron, you're a good man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin and Bean.
All right. Rewrite it. Okay, bye.
I know you hate Kevin. I know that's your thing. I know the list gets longer and longer and longer every day of things and people and events and stuff.
You know what's weird, Bean, is that with my friends, I kind of associate myself with like-minded people, so I don't end up hating. But with you, we have such different tastes that everything you bring up, I hate.
Well, Bjork is in the news.
Oh, I hate her.
I know you do. She is in the news for two reasons. One is she just received a very prestigious award, the Polar Music Prize,
I've wanted that my whole life. We should give that to Ron.
It's been awarded up there in Scandinavia for many, many years. You win big dough. I guess Bruce Springsteen won a couple of years ago. There have been a lot of people who have won throughout the years. But you get big, big dough, like $100,000 or something like that, and you win a prize. It's like winning a Grammy or something like that. And then she's also in the news for a new song, and we'll hear some of that here in a minute. But let's talk to Bjork and find out how it was receiving that prize the other day, because we do have her on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Bjork.
Hello.
Hi, how are you today?
I am wonderful. I am by the stream of consciousness, and the magical fairies have been dancing on top of the eyes of the nuke.
Okay, well, good for you. So you were at the Stockholm Concert Hall in Sweden the other night with the Swedish royal family, all sorts of celebrities and actors, and you were there to pick up this very prestigious award. Tell me about it.
Yes, it is the Polar Music Prize.
Mm-hmm.
And the polar bear's teeth are the truth, but berries are lies.
What?
Yes.
Okay. And it was just for being awesome? It wasn't for any particular song or anything like that? It was just, hey, keep doing good work?
Yes, they enjoyed all of my work. And the spirits of the solar flares came down and touched them in their magical wonderland of marshmallows and apricots.
I did not realize that. Yes. Okay. All right, and the other big Bjork news this week is that you have unveiled
your... If there is such a thing as big Bjork news.
You have revealed some details about your new song for the upcoming movie about the Moomins, the children's character, the Moomins. Tell us about that.
I made a song for the new Moomins movie.
What's a Moomins? I've never heard that word.
The Moomins are the hippopotamus trolls that have large snouts and inhabit Moomin Valley.
Okay.
Is and this I'm something? Not even making that up.
What? That's real?
That's the real deal.
What?
That is some for real shizot.
Right. So your new song, first new release in a number of years, is called The Comet Song. We have a little clip, Bjork, if you don't mind, we'd like to let our listeners hear some of your new record, okay?
Please, I would love them to have the ears of the cantaloupe and also absorb the music in through all of the furs of all the beaver pelts.
Okay, I hope that happens too. Here's the new Bjork.
With our fingers we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
No.
On a mission to...
Wait.
Hold on a second. How are you going to parody that, Ralph?
Did you say you ran and fell into potholes?
Yes, we make our fingers make millions of holes.
Wait,
yes.
You got an award for that?
F me.
I'm holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Come on.
On a mission to save the world. We peek at the sky through tree holes.
What's happening in there?
I maybe should give the money back from the award I got.
Can you give the award and the money back?
I should give it all back.
Yeah.
Yes.
You really should.
I should drown myself in the stream of the icy waters that come from the moon dancers.
Please do. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:43.
Ralph, I didn't see you around. Maybe you missed the call we had with Bjork. But
I heard it in the other room.
You did? You heard her new song then?
No, not enough of it. I know that much.
It's all the kids are talking about right now is that new Bjork song. When can you play it again?
That was a shock to me how bad that was.
First of all...
Look, Bjork's weird.
F Bjork. I've always said, my whole life I've said that. F Bjork.
You used to say Fork.
Fork Bjork,
yeah,
right.
Used to.
And now Fork the Moomins, too.
I don't know what those creatures.
But... horrible beyond words.
Right.
And if you missed it, I'm not letting it go. I'm not done with this yet. This dog's not giving his bone up.
The Bjork's all.
This is unbelievable. Omar could not have done a worse song.
Well, you wouldn't do it because it wouldn't be believable that anybody would make a song that bad.
Play some of Bjork's new song from the Moomins movie.
With our fingers, we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Gets better.
On a mission to save the world. We peek at the sky through tree holes. Comet, oh damn it, the comet.
Now, forgive me for stating the obvious, but when she's singing this must sound good. She must
say yes. That's the take we're using. Mark that one. That we're pressing that one. That
comes hurtling down on our precious plot of earth.
Okay, bring it down.
All right, dance mix. All right, everybody
like
dance.
The bugs in mother's flower bed.
Really?
We walk on long legs over the seabed.
you.
This is Mad Libs.
It is available on iTunes.
But at least she makes no effort to find any sense of rhythm or tonality or melody. Or at least she goes out of her way to make sure it's just a completely disharmonious series of cacophonous sounds of hatred and putridity.
So you like it or you don't like
it? This is 100% the direct opposite of a song.
If the Armenian comedian had laid this down, we would have said, you are the most talentless piece of crap we've ever met. All it's missing is the Armenian comedian's recorder solo in the middle of that. That's all it's missing.
It might happen. I haven't heard the whole thing.
On our mission to save the world, oh, we need milk and cakes and a warm bed.
I wish you dead.
Comet, oh, damn it.
Bean, you like Bjork.
I like her very much.
She's an acquired taste, though.
Well,
like the first time you had wine, you went, ew, that tastes bad, but then you wanted to get drunk, so you kept drinking
it. But at least when you keep drinking wine, you feel good after a while. Right? You don't feel any better listening to this song longer.
All right, wait, do you like this song, even though
Bjork? Look, that song may work in the context of what's going on the screen during the children's movie.
You are a piece of garbage.
How is that song?
How can you even give that a minute and give it a mild defense?
Let me finish. I'm saying it may make sense in the context of the movie.
I'm telling you now, it doesn't.
Then the movie blows.
But what I'm saying is that song on its own, no, I don't think that's very good. Right. But I'm not going to write off all of Bjork's. I mean, she got nominated for an Oscar for one of her songs, for God's sake. She has done some great songs. She's won Grammys for her songs before. There are a lot of people who like a lot of Bjork's songs. Maybe this one isn't the best one of all.
That's as strong as you can go as maybe this
maybe
isn't her
it's
best.
Not the best.
Can't you say that you like her, but this song sucks?
I like her. This is not a song I would choose in my top 100
Bjork
songs.
Stop saying it. Stop saying it as if it's even remotely kind. Tell the truth about this song.
This song blows. Say it.
Look, I'm not going to
write. You can love Bjork and hate this song.
Unbelievable.
I'm saying I still think it's likely she'll come out with other songs that I like very much.
I just
don't think this is one of them.
Okay, so say this one sucks.
This is not a great song.
Right. Say it sucks.
There are many songs better than this one.
Oh.
On the list of great songs, you would not find this one.
You are to radio what Bjork is to music. That's all I'm saying.
How are you going to come at me like that?
Paris Hilton is still explaining away her cocaine habit. I mean, charges.
Yeah. It wasn't her purse, Ralph.
It wasn't her purse.
It wasn't.
Now it's widely publicized. In case you missed it yesterday, I did want to repeat that according to the Las Vegas police report, when arrested, she said she had not seen it, but now she thought it was gum at the bottom of her purse. They said, what's that? What's that in the bottom of your purse? It's gum, she said. Since when does gum come in a little baggie?
Easy.
a little plastic baggie.
Never.
Or a bindle. I don't get a bindle of Wrigley's. I've never seen that at 7-Eleven.
Can I get a baggie of gum?
Hey, you have Orbit, but do you have it grind into a fine powder and in a little plastic baggie or perhaps a little vial with a bullet end on it?
Can I get somebody else a Doublemint powder I can have?
Seriously. I'm putting Paris and Bjork on the ark. I'm building an ark.
And I'm going to put them on an island.
I'm going to send them all out to sea.
I like it.
Tiger Woods is main mistress, Rachel Yucatel, apparently took a trip to New York with Dr. Drew Pinsky last Thursday.
Okay.
Apparently he's humping her.
Are they dating?
Is that what you heard?
No, I'm sorry. I must have misread this.
No, we're going to talk to him tomorrow. We'll ask him.
Ask him about his trip with Rachel to Ground Zero. It's where they went because apparently her fiancé was killed in the attacks on September 11th.
Oh, let's not ask him about that then. That's not the...
And,
is he helping her work through grief from that?
Apparently they're going back there to get a sense of closure and to try to perhaps address the issue that some friends say is when her life started to unravel, is when after that event she started spiraling out of control.
Oh, way to bring us down.
So this is part of the therapy.
We're all having a good time with Bjork.
However, there is a group of people picketing outside of Ground Zero saying no Yucatels at Ground Zero. For some reason, they think
that is
some sort of dishonoring to what's going on.
What? Thing. I think they're picketing mosque.
And Dr. Drew, I'm pretty sure, is banging her.
We'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, ask him that. Kellen Lutz is complaining about his good looks. Yeah. He says he has no plans of being a piece of meat for the rest of his career.
Same here.
Oh. He does not want to be marketed as just a face and a body.
Right.
Listen, Kellen Lutz. you go with what you got, you know? if that's what they're buying, then that's what you're selling.
You should try being not good looking.
Yeah. Try selling that around Hollywood, see how you do. See how many werewolves you play then.
It's way worse.
Unbelievable. Sofia Vergara.
Yes.
Very happy on the fact that Modern Family won Outstanding Comedy at the Emmy Awards last weekend. First thing she did when she won was get off stage and call her husband, Nicholas Loeb. He wasn't attending the event because he had a nasty cliff diving accident and broke his pelvis last week.
Cliff diving accident.
What kind? Who is this? The most interesting man in the world. Who is she married to?
They're not married, by the way. It's just your boyfriend. But yeah, I hear he's in very, very serious shape.
Wow. Who has accidents? Cliff diving.
And it sounds like if you have an accident cliff diving, you're dead. I mean, that's not a.
Well, here's the thing. Loeb is upset because he thinks it may delay the run he's considering to be the governor of Florida.
Okay.
He's the most interesting man in the world.
No kidding.
I rarely cliff dive, but when I do, I hurt myself.
Stay crunchy, my friend.
Well, I'm voting for this guy.
He's running,
I know that,
for the governor of the state of Florida. He cliff dives, breaks his pelvis, and lives to tell the tale.
I'd vote for him, I think.
He's had penguins over the house for dinner. He's the most interesting man in the world.
So she's concerned for his well-being, but apparently he's doing well.
I feel like you'd have to have a lot going on to get Sofia Vergara, though.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Although I've seen better with worse.
Yeah.
It's inexplicable, it's the level of man some attractive, smart, talented women will end up with.
That's true.
Look at your wives, by the way. Both of you. Take a good long look. And you want another Michael Jackson concert film?
Yes.
You're going to get it. Apparently, there is a movie called The Triumph Tour, which is Michael on tour back in 1981.
Nope.
He had just finished Off the Wall, was just about to start work on Thriller when he hit the road with his brothers. The Jackson's live double album from 1981 was recorded on this tour, and apparently the footage, this guy has about 64 minutes of it, of Michael performing. He is shopping it around to the studios looking for a big 3D release.
So this is before.
This is a 30-year-old concert film of Michael Jackson singing PYT or whatever.
No, that was. I think that was.
Was
on
that Thriller?
That was Thriller.
All his good songs were from Thriller.
I remember at the time that the brothers begged him to go out with him because he was a superstar after Off the Wall. I mean, that album sold 10 million copies or something like that.
Yeah.
And the brothers were like, hey, you're leaving me behind. You know, so he went out at the time. We thought it was one more tour, one more chance for them to make some money.
Sorry, we're out of time. Thanks for participating. Thanks for playing the game. What did you do? I got some of that powdered gum. Sorry. Made me all wacky. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, your tickets for breakfast with Linkin Park. We're going to ask Dr. Drew if he's indeed banging Rachel Uchitel.
And that's just in poor taste to bang her at the site of Ground Zero. I mean, come on.
That's why they have the protesters.
Plus, Andre Ethier.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Dodgers.
Mike's talking about
baseball?
Yes.
Oh, whatever.
He's so beautiful!
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next.